3, 2, 1.
Family.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Queer Quadrant, a podcast where we, two bisexual filmmakers, examine cinema in all its cultural contexts and explore why your favorite four-quadrant blockbuster is maybe not as straight as you think it is.
So, you know, every day I go to work, right, and I get up, you know, do a little something like this, do something like that,
prep
my breakfast, you know, I get my lunch ready, and then as I'm leaving, I look to my cat and I say to him, Daddy's got to go to work.
It would have been better if you didn't spoil the fact that you were going to work at the beginning, but I will accept the bit.
I'm going to bleep out where I'm going.
This is classic joke construction, you know?
Look, the only construction in my brain is me breaking out of the cast construction around my bit.
Yeah, totally. Totally, totally.
Is it not the greatest cinematic moment of Dwayne quote The Rock, end quote, Johnson's career?
Mm-hmm.
I think it is.
I mean, Emma, I know that you are a very big fan of that moment, as I have gleaned from you and Jordan's
hooting and hollering
messages.
Hooting and hollering. Yeah, I remember seeing that in the theater on like opening weekend and everyone just screaming. Just noise for like 5 full minutes.
It's
the best. So good, because it's the shot composition, the soundtrack going, his delivery, the fact that it's just his daughter too.
Yeah, that's his literal daughter.
So good. I don't even know. Is it real? Like, that's his.
No,
I was about to be like, whoa.
I knew that Daddy's Gotta Go to Work was coming because you, like,
because I've tweeted it like, yeah,
so many times. But I didn't know.
I think that's
that
my Letterboxd review of this movie is Daddy's Gotta Go to Work.
Yeah.
As it should be.
I just assumed he was like talking to himself. But I think the fact that he's like talking to his daughter makes it
better.
Funnier.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Do you think Hobbs canonically calls himself Daddy even if he's not talking to his kids?
Definitely.
The daddification of Hobbs. I mean, I would believe it.
I would believe it too.
This movie definitely, it's introducing him also starting to do his like woman thing a lot more, where he is just like,
woman.
No one has a name.
I am
like,
the cavalry.
Woman. You're like, okay, sure.
His dialogue in this movie is so good. And I want to know, it's unlike anyone else's dialogue. And I want to know, like, who did that? Like, was it him? Was it just some writer that they took on to be like, you got to punch up Dwayne's writing, you know?
The Rock Pass.
It's so funny. Yeah. No, so good.
I think it's very specific to this movie too, as far as I've watched. Okay, speaking of,
oh yes,
let's get into it. Hi, I'm Brooke Solomon.
Jordan Gustafson.
Welcome to Q Fast, Q Furious, Queer Quadrant Woo! Summer Series on
vroom,
all the films
vroom, beep,
in the
beep.
Fast and Furious franchise. Jordan is a Fast and Furious expert. I am a Fast and Furious newbie. This was my first experience with watching Furious 7.
Let's go.
It was quite a time. Today we are talking 2015's Furious 7, and we are joined, returning guest, friend of the pod, entertainment writer at Thrillist, Emma Stefanski.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, thank you for coming back and putting up with our shenanigans, mm-hmm. honestly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
As soon as I got the message to you guys, yeah, we're doing Fast and Furious, you can pick whatever you want. I'm like, well, it's this one.
It's this or 5, I feel like, are the two ones that are the most
the heavy
important
hitters
in the franchise. Yeah.
Yes.
5 is the one. 5 is the one that everyone kind of loves. Just they're just like, it's just straight up a really good movie. 7, right. I have like a very personal, deep connection to, so it had to be this one.
I love that. What? Or sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I'm curious to know more.
Oh, I mean, well, so this movie came out 2015, which was the year I graduated college, which, I mean, if anyone wants to know how old I am, they can figure it out. And that, like, it was like April 2015, I think, and that second semester of my senior year, I had just joined a class of like a film class and made a bunch of like this group of friends in that class who were a little bit younger than me, and so we all started like watching movies together in their like dorm rooms, and it was really nice. And as it got closer and closer to graduation, which was May, it got closer and closer to this movie coming out. So we were like, oh, let's watch all the Fast and Furious movies, because I don't think any one of us had ever seen all of them. So we got together like on weekends and watched them all together.
Wow.
And then went to see Furious 7 together. And for the whole movie, I kept thinking about like, it's just like, I'm leaving them.
Oh my
just like
God.
And that song became really popular too.
Yeah.
The Wiz Khalifa song. So it was all like very emotional experience for me. Definitely like the most surprised I've ever been at having an emotional reaction to a movie like this.
Right. You're going in, I'm ready for this. It's just going to be fun stunts. And then at the end, you're like, I'm fucking sobbing.
Yeah.
It truly, everyone was in the theater just sort of like, yeah, all of us. It was great. Absolutely.
I can't imagine what this theater experience must have been like between like the insanity of the stunts, the insanity of Daddy's Gotta Go to Work and other incredible line readings. And then like coupled with the emotional blow like the of the ending.
Oh, yeah.
Like so many ups, so many downs.
So many highs, so many lows.
Like it sounds exhausting, but in a very rewarding way.
I feel like that's the best Fast experience though. Like when you walk out of a Fast and Furious movie, like, wow, like I am tired from whatever I experienced, but in like the best, like an elation, you know?
Yeah. I mean, so this is like the first time that I watched this movie and all of these movies has been for the summer series.
So crazy. Yeah.
I know. And I watched Furious 7 last night for the first time. And I don't think I knew anything about this movie other than the fact that there was like this send off for Paul Walker.
And that Daddy had to go to work.
Although that was very late in the films. I had forgotten about it by the time it came
sneaks up on you.
Because he's absent for so much of the movie.
And then he has to go to work.
I hope you keep doing this for the whole episode.
Oh, yeah.
I will be. Yeah. I'm going to drive it into the ground. It's going to be dead. No one's going to be laughing, but I will be having the time of my life.
Yes. Oh, yes. But I was going to say, I feel like this was a very good entry to experience kind of like purely without knowing too much about it. Like, because the stunts are so
fucking good.
So good. Like,
so good.
I had no idea that that bus jump was coming, and experiencing that, like,
and then it's real
without anything oh my god. I mean, that's my favorite stunt of the whole thing.
It's so cool.
It's so cool.
Did you cry? Were you
I
in
did.
Tears?
I cried like really hard. Yeah. I am a crier. I cry at a lot of things, especially at movies.
Yeah,
so I would not say that I was shocked, but it did actually like get me like really fucking good. Like I was like fully like multiple tears. I almost sent you a photo, but it was too terrible.
I sent you a photo of me crying when I watched this movie, so that feels a little unfair.
We clearly all need to watch it together. We'll all cry together and take a photo together.
We can all stare at each other's faces as we're crying. They do that so well. It's such a good I mean, they had to like retool a lot of the plot of the movie too and reshoot stuff, and they did it so almost seamlessly that like I was even watching it back. I've seen it maybe 3 or 4 times by now, and watching it back now even I was like, yeah, this is, I can't really tell what wasn't in there before versus what's in there now.
It's incredibly crazy. Well done.
We were literally saying this off mic where it's like his whole plot of, you know, Brian like having to like become a family man and like learning that is like one last ride. Isn't and like that... the way that it's introduced so cleanly where it doesn't feel like shoehorned in that in the like, because there's clearly a world where it's like, oh, and Brian like has to go off or something where it's not neat. But the fact that it just feels so cohesive to the story itself and the themes presented in the movie is like kind of astounding.
Yeah, no, it's really impressive.
Constructed, right? Yeah. Like that wasn't supposed to be his arc and they had to like rebuild it.
Oh,
is that what
I
it
don't
was?
Know that.
Yeah.
That's I think, crazy. Yeah, there was a little bit of that. I know that like they used his brother for like all the face replacement stuff, which is also really good. Like,
yeah.
Compared to what I've seen recently, it's really good.
No, it's not like the spooky ghost digital, like de-aging or like fake peopling where you're like, I'm a little uncomfortable with that. Like it looks like Paul Walker, you know, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, it's really good. And
he's smiling.
I know. I feel
and they
like...
go separate ways.
Listen, sorry. I was a mess. Like I was truly a mess.
Is it the only time a Wiz Khalifa song has ever made you cry?
I think that's pretty safe to say.
Absolutely. The grip that he had in that, like, the grip that we... Oh, God, there's so much to talk about with this movie. Jesus Christ. But, like, him, like, this in Black and Yellow, I feel like being in such, like, close proximity to each other. Like, the grip that he had on the nation is, like, hard to you know, it's pretty impressive, you know?
Good old Wiz.
Yeah.
God.
I was going to ask you, did you see this movie in theaters? Were you, no, was this at the point where you were embroiled in the franchise?
So I was in it, but this was coming out, this was 2015, transitionary period with college and everything. So did not see it in theaters, which was
shocking.
A little upsetting. I know. Did see it at home, had the time of my life. My sister had seen it in theaters with her boyfriend at the time, which like was upsetting to me because I'm like, you have seen something in the theater that I didn't see? Like, this never happens. What's going on here? And so then watched it again. I don't know. This is probably like, I watched it with my sister again last year too. I might have actually seen this one more than five, which is shocking. And it kind of tipping my hand a little bit at how much I feel about this movie, but like,
yeah,
I love this movie so much.
Hey, you're in good company because Emma, obviously, very strong defender of this film.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah,
it's so good. I mean, just like everything they do, as we were saying, the stunts, the characters, what they introduce, and especially, I feel like just the fact that like they bring on Juan for this one and this one only, and for it to be so good is kind of astounding.
I love his style, like his directing and his shooting style. That opening fight sequence between Hobbs and Shaw, the titular Hobbs and Shaw. I love how it's shot with sort of like the locked down camera as people are falling. That's like so
when they
my
go
shit.
Over the desk.
Yeah, and it like moves with them. So good.
They have that like conversation, that like face off where the camera's just zooming around them.
Yeah.
And it keeps cutting. Like, this is hilarious. But it's, you know, it's good.
It's so fun. I mean, nothing is better. Yeah, it's great. We'll get into it.
We're getting into
it. No, I know. I just feel like Juan should and is like deserved to be like talked about as like such a good blockbuster filmmaker. You just like look at everything that he's done, both from like horror and then with Aquaman, which has a very similar energy to this movie, which is also a good movie.
Big dude bro, but positive vibes.
Positive
energy.
Bros. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Which is why Momoa probably will fit in so well to this franchise.
Yeah.
That's only a matter of time, honestly.
Truly. I know. I mean, listen, if anything, I feel like could bring Dwayne Johnson back. It might be Jason Momoa, although like that might be too much to have like Vin and Momoa and
three huge guys.
Like three just like very massive men.
Yes.
Just all existing. Standing around existing.
Should we ask the question? I don't want to like carbon date this episode.
Yeah, no, but we
feel
have
like
to.
We have to carbon date this episode. How do we feel about Brie Larson? Who is she? I saw someone say that she's Brian's long lost sister, and I can't get that out of my head because it makes sense.
I think that's a pretty good call, but as of yesterday, Vin Diesel announced via Instagram where all of his announcements come from that Brie Larson is joining Fast and Furious 10-1 and 10-2, whatever we want to call it. I feel like Brian's long lost sister is not a bad call. I don't know, she has to be someone pretty big, right? So maybe she's like there to kind of fill that role. I don't know.
Well, they could do that because the one that they just did last year, it was Dom's long lost brother. So maybe
siblings are back. They're in vogue.
Yeah, because Momoa is the villain. So I feel like they wouldn't put Brie Larson as like secondary villain.
No.
It seems wrong. So she has to be someone I feel like on the good guy side. And I feel like it's got to be a substantial part. It's not like a come in, come out a la Kurt Russell. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Nobody. Ooh.
Whenever he's on. Love it. Love that.
You're saying that's Mr. Somebody.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Terrible.
I'm sorry.
So bad.
I'm sorry. The car's coming to run me over.
I don't know. Emma, do you have any Brie Larson theories? I'm sure they'll announce more people as we continue on, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was kind of surprised, but also kind of not surprised because they tend to cast, like, when they're adding new people at this point, it's always big, beefy guys. Or like normal pretty women, like actresses.
Yes. Yeah. Like Charlize
and she kind of
or
fits,
something. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like someone who looks like an anime villain, like Charlize can. But yeah, and Brie kind of fits that mold. And I think that she'll do well in a movie like this with like a big cast where she's like not the focal point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think Paul Walker's sister is a good call.
Yeah.
I wonder if it, because they wouldn't do like the Ronda Rousey, Gina Carano sort of route they did before.
I think she's
which
too
feels
big.
A little too small. Yeah.
I think she's too big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were both like stunt, like fighting people too.
Right.
Which I do want to get into a little bit more in this movie specifically. But like they were kind of there to do one thing. And I don't know if Brie could do that. I don't think she's that kind of star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. She like has a lot of obviously like workout like personal content and she's like very into like that. Yeah. So like I can see why she fits in this, but I want her to be able to like be funny again. And also it's like I feel like she hasn't flexed this muscle very much recently, but I think she does understand sort of like the big actiony spatial awareness that like these movies require. And like I feel like at least in the recent ones that I've seen, the sequences are so well constructed and I do think she gets that, but I don't know, Marvel is just like put together a very different type of way. Right. So I would be interested to see her like actually like use the action sequences to her advantage in theory. I don't know. I'm sure by the time this episode comes out, you'll know way more than we do.
Probably.
Right now.
No, I just hope that she gets to be funny and weird because she's good at that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe she's like a goth, you know? Something again like that, like a la like Scott Pilgrim or something, you know, where she's like cranky and mean, you know, something. I don't know.
Something.
Maybe she's another hacker, another friend for Ramsay.
Girlfriend.
Oh, fuck. Let's go. Ramsay is definitely swinging a certain way.
I mean, Ramsay's intro in this
incredible
is so funny. I love Nathalie Emmanuel. I think that like it's nice to have seen her star like grown because I know she's in the later ones too.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's nice that I love that like every time they collect someone, they're just like
you're along for the ride
with us. Like
they're in the family now. They're part of the family.
You're in the family.
When you're here, you are family.
Yeah. But I think it's whatever is going on with her and Roman and Tej, especially in this movie. Like I don't even know. I haven't seen F8 or F9 or Hobbs and Shaw yet. So I heard that their relationship kind of like evolves.
Changes a little, but yeah.
It's hilarious in this one.
What, that they're both thirsting after her. So they're like
so
two
hard.
Men awoogaing like the minute she's introduced.
It's crazy.
It's almost a little Lady Doth Protest too much, honestly, with those two. Like,
yes.
You can't be that into it, so, you know.
Oh, 100%.
They're so dating. Like, they're so dating, it's not even funny.
No, And I mean, everything with Roman, too, and Brian, like, he's always just being like, oh, remember when remember when we had something together? Remember? And you're like, simmer, we get it.
Yeah. I will say, I like Tyrese Gibson, but I think this movie kind of, like, does him dirty and, like, does not understand, like, the level of comedy that he should be up to. Because I think he's so funny.
Are you saying the birthday
five?
Sequence is a little broad?
That might be the low point of the film right there. This film was amazing. Yes. But there were certain moments where I was like, did you really like feel the need to make him do this? Mm. I think he's so funny in five. Mm. And I feel like the energy has just been a little broadified.
It feels like they saw how funny he was and then tried to like force more funny onto him. Because he has that, like, that ability to sort of to act, like, even just with his face, like, reacting to a moment. Yeah. He's very good at that. But then when you make him, like, do these stupid jokes just to make him into, like, a buffoonish character, it's annoying. And it gets worse as the series goes on, I will say that, unfortunately.
Great. Because it's like, he starts off as this, like, relatively well-rounded character, and I feel like at this point he kind of, like, has nothing except the fact that he's, like, the funny dude of the group.
Right. Yeah. Right. He's not, like, the hacker or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, that's
the distraction.
Right. And that plays into, I feel like, so much with, like, the sequences with, like, the Ramsay breakout and everything for this one, you know? Yeah.
Him not wanting to jump out of the plane, though, pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty funny.
Pretty good.
What if planes, but parachuting to the ground?
Yeah.
What?
Just throw the car out of the plane. That's how you get them there.
One of the greatest questions ever asked. I mean, come on.
I have to know how they came up with that. Like,
did you read that they did that real? Like, throwing the planes out with, like, real parachutes and stuff?
Wait, really?
Yes.
What?
They threw the cars?
They threw cars out of planes, yeah. Like, one at a time for, like, test runs and then would do it. And they had, like, I think it was, like, a 70% success rate or so. Oh, here it was. 70% landed perfectly, 30% did not. And then they did, like, obviously for the shots with the people in it using, like, a gimbal and green screen and stuff. But, like, the cars falling, real.
It's real. And the bus jump is real with wire work.
Right.
Dang. Yeah.
Cool shit.
Mission Impossible. They're coming for you. They're coming for you, Tom Cruise.
You know, Tom as the villain, this would rule.
He would never.
Absolutely not. No. But it would be incredible if he did.
He's like the ultimate, like, would be so good at playing a bad guy, but would never play a bad guy. He just, I think
anymore.
He's one of those guys who just won't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you get him back with like that collateral haircut or something like that. Oof. Oof.
I want it. I don't know. That's so impressive to me. I think that this does, I don't know, maybe I just have blockbuster brain and I thought that it looked like very glossy and not necessarily like you could tell if they were doing it for real or not. Maybe it's just like the wand stylization, but the fact that they did it,
yeah,
ultimate brownie points.
Well, yeah, that rules.
Yeah. I mean, him, the drift from the bus, him grabbing onto the back of the car is maybe like the coolest. That's the thing, is they're all cool. You're like, okay, cars parachuting out of the sky, great. Bus grabbing on as it's drifting, cool. But then also, they drive a car out three buildings in Dubai, which is also kind of fucking cool.
Oh, that was amazing. I'm telling you, I think my experience was very improved by not having seen any of the trailer stunts. Because I know most of the F9 stunts, I feel like, because I saw that trailer so many times just in theaters. But like,
so you know, car swinging over canyon?
Magnet plane?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole, I think the bus jump was like, that scene was like one of those sort of extended trailers where it's just like a scene of the movie. And so that I had seen many, many times before I saw the movie. Didn't make it any less cool, but I knew that it was coming.
It's so sick. Like
it's so good.
The Dubai building jump. Also
the fucking best.
And the fact that, like, I know that, like, the Dubai building jump, a lot of that is like CGI augmented, like body double Paul Walker, as well as obviously like however they decided to shoot jumping
real.
A car in between buildings. They didn't do that for real.
Fuck.
I mean, Tom Cruise did climb that very same building, did he?
Oh my god. In an alternate world, you see the car going and you see Tom climbing up the side at the same time. Fuck.
It's the same building, right?
It's he climbed the Burj Khalifa.
That's the
super
big
tall
one. Yeah,
so
I
cool.
think these are like cool. three by the coast, if they exist. I have no idea. I've never been to Dubai. I'm not rich enough.
No, definitely not. Would love to be at one of those parties.
Oh my god.
Oh, just yeah,
the drip that everyone has, incredible. Vince in a tux, like I don't know if it works, but I like the look of it.
It's certainly rather disconcerting to see him in a collared shirt.
Yes.
And not
with his shoulders not exposed.
Yeah.
Feels wrong.
It does.
Feels wrong. The man deserves to show some skin.
Yeah.
This movie, I think in particular, is like where it starts to get like very fan fiction-y in a good way. For me, that is a compliment. You have like all the soap opera stuff of like, you know, people, oh god, like, oh, I have to be back with my family. Oh, but my boys need me. And then they're like, we have to infiltrate like a fancy gala thing. Well, we have to get really cool clothes and look really hot. It's all those tropes come to the surface in this one.
It's incredible. Absolutely. Also, amnesia.
Yep. Like, yes, exactly.
I think this has to be one where we go through plot wise because I just scrolled down in my notes and I honestly had, even though I saw this like a few days ago, I forgot that it opens with like all of the race wars and Letty like having to like have her brain
rewired,
like, re-jogged again. Yeah.
Letty.
Race wars. Come on.
Race wars. They're back. We miss them so much.
They invented the race wars, guys.
He really says that line with a straight.
He puts his body into it.
Yeah.
Swear to God.
It's true. I mean, I'm not going to argue with him.
Oh, absolutely not. No way.
Yeah, you know what? You go for it.
Oh, no, me.
I'm going to explain the plot of this thing.
I mean, it's okay. Maybe. Okay, so we'll look at it. Let's see. It starts off in London, and you get Luke and Jason Statham as brothers.
Yes.
And London has never looked so blue in my life.
it's very Joker-esque opening sequence here.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't be the only one that's thinking it. Good for Jason Statham.
Oh, absolutely. He kills it.
He's so good in this.
He's
so good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I love how I think this also like contributes to the melodrama. The amount of times he pops up with no explanation, like a specter, is so, so funny.
Like, there's no reason he should be at, like, the Great Ramsey robbery, and he's just, like, pops up at the
How
end of
did
it
he
with,
get
like,
there?
A sniper, and he's like, ooh, interesting.
I thought the road was guarded. I thought nobody could get in, except for Jason Statham. How does he get an invite to the party?
He's in some, like, ATV. Yeah, exactly. He comes in. He's got that cool, like, elevator door shot where it goes up, and you're like, where did he come from? Why is he here?
How did he know? Yes, when he shows up in the fully loaded ATV, no less. It's truly incredible.
Perfect.
Great stuff.
Perfect.
We don't have to go through the plot, by the way.
I know. Well, I needed to make sure that I didn't forget certain things.
Okay.
Like, for example, having the Furious 7 title card be like one of the coolest things in the franchise, like where the car goes and like pops up on the road. Fucking awesome.
Good shit. Yeah.
There's like one of two shots in this movie that I never stop thinking about. It's that title card and the one where they're all coming down the stairs in their like fancy dress.
Yes.
And you see Letty's dress like billowing behind her, and it cuts to a different shot, but the dress fabric is still in the shot, and it goes, who does that?
I noticed that. Yes. I was like, oh, they're like cutting on the dress, but not really, because it doesn't really make any logical sense.
It's not a wipe. It's just the background is different, but the fabric from the previous shot is still there. Yes. It's so cool.
It rules.
That's James Wan. That's 100% him.
For sure. It's like that. It's kind of like that horror stylization, like with The Conjuring and stuff like that. Like, he has such clear visual language, mm-hmm. even like fucking Malignant, you know what I mean, where you're like,
great
this
film.
Doesn't make sense, but I'm so fucking in, you know. It's just cool and exciting, and like that's why this movie whips, because it's just going for it in, as you're saying, like the fan fictionification of the Fast franchise way, which works so well.
This does feel like, I like that, how every movie, even though they are a very nice cohesive whole, every movie does seem like they're trying to tackle a slightly different tone or do a slightly different spin. Like Fast 5 is obviously like, what if we did these movies but a heist? And then Furious 6, I feel like, is more Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is like, it really does feel like a soap opera between that insane styling and like the fancy aspect, when they're like a bunch of blue collar people that like are sort of
kinda
fish out of water in this situation. But like everything from like that elevator sequence between Letty and Dom, where she's like in this fancy dress, they're like very uncomfortable, but like have to have a conversation about amnesia, to like the fact that they got married at some point off screen that we like never see. It feels like very, very old fashioned, like telenovela-esque.
Absolutely.
Why didn't you tell me we were married? What did he say? You can't tell someone they love you.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. The lines he has in this are so good, where he has, I don't have friends, I got family.
I got family.
I don't have friends, I got family.
I mean, burning down the fucking house, let's go. It's just incredible back to backs. As you were saying, it's just like all the different tones this movie balances. The whole ending also becoming like a Star Wars style fight, but with like wrenches and like leftover materials.
Oh, yes.
Fucking incredible.
That's excellent. I think that like this, the script on this one is definitely, I don't know, I like Six. I feel like it's a step up in terms of like the one-liners that they like rely on hitting. I mean, Vin Diesel's like penultimate. That's the thing about street fights. The street always wins.
Street always wins. Stomp.
Thing about street fights, the street always wins.
Like, and he earthbends him into the ground.
Fuck. Yes.
It's true. I mean, we're fully on superhero rules at this
100%.
Point.
100%. Yeah. Yes.
But it's the power
Vin
of family.
Throws his car down a cliff without a helmet. It survives.
Are we talking about he nosses his car into a helicopter? Like,
it's so good. And he, like, to Ramsey, he's like, you should put your helmet on. And you're like, what about you? Is your bald head going to protect you enough from this fall? Like, what powers do you contain?
It's the power of family. You already know. I've been watching all of these with my lovely boyfriend, Evan, who, by the way, was walking around this morning muttering, daddy's got to go to work, as he, like, made
the
coffee.
Influence.
He is a very big fan of the gym, so Dwayne Johnson flexing out of a cast, I feel like, was like a really wonderful aspirational moment for him.
Yeah, like I gotta do that.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's now what he's
got to bulk to that level. Yeah. Got to have like 125 pounds of cod a year and then you'll get there.
That's so much cod. Like, I can't even imagine. But like literally every time Dom says a line when we've been watching these, we've been like, well, it's okay. It doesn't matter because he's got family. It's so easy to like literally put that like arch theme onto everything, but that makes it so much better when he actually does drop a line like I don't got friends, I got family, because I don't know, it's just, it's so easy to make jokes about it, but then the movie understands it and is able to like drop it at like an actual important thematic moment.
The whole thing is like the themes of family are like so persistent throughout, like when their LA home gets like yeeted, it's like all about like, you know, they're scared for the child and they have like, all of it is about like, you came for my family, I will exact revenge upon you, you motherfucker. You know what I mean?
I was about to throw hands when they burned down the LA house. I can't believe they did that.
I remember when they saw, when I saw that in the theater and I thought that that was going to be them taking Brian out of the movie. I thought that he was going to be killed off at that point. I was like, wait, no, they wouldn't do that.
And that would be crazy.
Of course they didn't, but it was nearly, that was like a pretty good fake out there for a minute.
Oh yeah,
yeah, oh it's so good. And it like, it really does feel, I don't know, I feel like Jordana Brewster like as a actress kind of gets the short end of the stick in this movie, because like I read like due to scheduling things, all of her,
she was booked,
all of her scenes were at the end, which means that like she didn't really shoot with Paul Walker at all, and so like that is I think like a contributing factor to why she's not in this movie very much. But like we said, I think it is really impressive the way that they pull off like that arc and like what they decide to do is like so pitch perfect.
It's like really nice that they don't kill him off.
Yeah.
And yes,
it's like curious then how they obviously like bring him back in subsequent ones and like how that's going to go forward, but it is nice to not kill him off because it kind of would have felt like a little icky.
I think it's like they could have done it and be like, this is necessary, and like build it into the a la Rise of Skywalker, bad example, but that is a route that they could have taken.
Yes. I mean, this movie, I will say, this franchise does do a lot of somehow X person returns, but like you buy into it and it works.
Yeah.
You know?
But you know what I was talking about. Yeah.
It's good that they don't kill him. A, because that is something, that's a pet peeve of mine. I hate when they do that. I hate when they end stuff or end character arcs with people dying, because what I love is the thought that they're like still out there somewhere, you know? And that's kind of what they do in the rest of the movies, is they mention him by name a few times. They're just like, oh yeah, Brian's going, you know, out there. And it's so nice every time they do it. It never feels like icky or weird because in this universe, you know, he's fine. And I think that's a really good, a really nice gift to have given him.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I think that's a really, really sweet way of putting it, because it's like, this is obviously a franchise that's built on literal family, but also like built on the goodwill that like the majority of the cast has for each other. Right. Maybe notable Dwayne Johnson exceptions notwithstanding. It feels like the right thing that these characters would do for like their friend, as well as like what the actors would do for like their real life friend. Like Vin Diesel and Paul Walker were like close for.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
You know, 15 years.
Right. And like Vin and Dom are like ostensibly, as we've said, sort of like a similar thing. Like they've kind of like merged together to become one.
Yes, they have become one, you know? Character, so like it feels person.
Like very like tender and specific. And is even just like on the queer and like family, as we were saying, themes, it's like so much of this is built on the backbone of like
their relationship
both like bromo erotic and like friendship wise. So it's just a very like tender send off, I think.
Yeah.
It's a love story. All these movies are love stories.
Yes.
And they do it in such a way that it never feels like dumb. They'd never undercut it, which I think is really nice. No. They're never like, oh, well, we're not, not going to be mushy.
Yeah.
They really feel that so deeply. And that I think is why I love them so much.
They're so sincere. Like they're, I think especially this one, even though it's like maybe has like the sweatiest plot out of all
of them. Rock.
Like God's eye, I swear to God, like what is going
just,
on with
just
that?
You
also
wait,
a very sweaty rock.
Yeah.
Can't hide from God's eye.
Can't hide from God's eye. But like it's so funny. But like this film in particular, for good reason, is like very, very sincere. I know that like they reconstructed that scene of like Mia and Brian in the Dominican Republic when she's like talking about like how he should go. And then like that scene on the plane? Are they in a plane? I don't know. When Dom and Brian talk to each other about like how the greatest thing that like Brian's ever done, the bravest thing that he's ever done is like be a good man for his family.
Fuck.
That's the thing. And that's like a reconstruction. So that's that feels like something. I think it's reconstructed footage from the porch scene in 5.
Oh, that fucking rules.
When Vin is like, I knew my father. Yeah. That one.
We've sort of touched upon this before and things like that, but like this franchise isn't dealing with like themes or things like that with subtlety. Like they are doing it with a sledgehammer, and it's not like the smartest person in the world is writing it or whatever, but it's the earnestness and the heart in which they're doing it that makes it so effective emotionally and like thematically, which is why, you know, I think that's why it resonates so much with audiences and like obviously with us and stuff like that.
I agree.
And I mean, Vin literally does have a sledgehammer at some point in this movie where he takes it to like Letty's grave and Letty's like, no,
and then he
has to go
it,
on my own.
He brings it to the street fights, which is nice. But I mean, like, Emma, even your story at like the beginning, like you and a group of friends like built like a big chunk of your relationship off of like watching these movies.
Yeah.
They do bring people together.
They do. And it never feels dumb or like, you know, it's just fun.
They care about the audience. Yes. Like,
they do.
Yeah. And I think like so much of like I'm really glad that because there was like some plans to scrap this film and then it didn't end up happening. And I feel like the franchise is like much for the better by like having completed this like as like in memory of Paul Walker.
No, totally.
And yeah, I think that like it really will stand as this like very impressive thing that was done because it really is done with like so much more care. Like we've seen maybe not as like tragic because he was so young, but like we've seen versions of this kind of thing like happen with other movies. And I don't know, at least from what I've seen, I think I say this is by far the most successful and the most like genuine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure. No, it's notable because it's not only a good movie, it's good despite and because of the fact that it has this huge, impossible hurdle to get around. And you really can't do anything but respect that.
Yeah. It's great.
It's so weird because they were rushing to get this made after 6 and to have like this and 6 sort of be like a split into 2, but then, which is why Justin Lin's not on this one, but then you have everything that happens with Paul Walker, so then it gets delayed. Ultimately, I feel like maybe it was for the better, not like for the Jesus, but like, I, you know what I'm trying to say? It's just like interesting how it works that they were trying to rush so much on this one and like that could lead to such a poorly written and stuff like that. And because they were able to at least like get the start and like have it be written as it was, it's just a fucking impressive feat is I guess what I'm trying to say. Like it's kind of insane to think that they were able to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing about like studio like franchise interference is that you either need to shoot 2 films at the same time in one big block or you just need to give people like the post to pre-pro like turnover that they need. Like any of these things where it's like we're releasing a film and then we're releasing the sequel like 10 months later. If you didn't shoot them together, like it's just I can't even.
Madness.
And like you should know this. You're a studio. You release movies all the time.
You are Universal Studios.
Like what are you thinking?
Yeah.
I cannot fathom like why anyone would decide to do that.
No.
What was the turnaround between these two? Or what was it planned to be?
This was scheduled to be originally summer 2014, which would have been a year earlier, right? And then 6, when did 6 come out?
It came out in, it's a great question, April 2015.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think like.
Oh, wait, no, this came out in 2015.
Oh, sorry, what were you asking?
When did 6 come out? Yeah.
I don't have it up.
Brooke!
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got you.
No, it's okay.
But I'm
TikTok.
Sure like 2 years or so. So it's like, I'm sure that there's like a very quick, like 1 to 2 year turnaround.
I mean, Furious 6 was 2013. I don't know exactly when. But like, I think 2 years is the sweet spot for like franchise installments. Again, unless you're doing like what they're doing with Furious 10.
Right.
Where they're like shooting it in 2 parts.
Right.
We'll I don't know what that's going to look like, but whatever.
No idea.
I'll go see it a million times.
Absolutely. Be there opening night.
I think like we've talked a lot about like the relationship between the Mission Impossible franchise and the Fast and Furious franchise on this series so far, because they're like the two like practical effects driven sort of like not completely original, but like more original seeming action franchises with like one star at the center who's holding everything together. And they're also shooting like their 2-part finales like at the same time. And I'm really interested to see like how both of those are going to play out, because it's been a minute since we had like some franchises end. I feel like 2019 was crazy because it was
like a bunch.
Star Wars, Marvel, Phase whatever, and Game of Thrones were all ending in the span of like 6 weeks or
something. They all stuck the landing.
All of them.
Yes.
No notes.
None.
But we're going to have that for Crazy Fast that and Vision. Yeah.
Three big franchises had wonderful endings that everybody loves.
Mm-hmm.
So
not
much.
Divisive at all online.
Yeah.
All good chat. All really went well.
Mm-hmm. And that we don't have to hear about any of those things ever again.
Nope.
Nope.
Anywho.
Anyway, I feel like I'll be sad when this ends, though.
Oh my god, yeah.
I know, but it's also crazy because like I assume that 10 is the first one that I'll like actually be going to see in real time.
Yeah.
Isn't that nuts?
Wow.
That's crazy.
We'll have a movie date.
Oh, I mean, you better be.
I've
been seeing these with Lewin, so I need to see it with a person.
Did you see F8 in a theater?
I did.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
I saw the Fate.
So you're only a couple. You're only a couple.
A
behind.
Couple behind, yeah.
Yeah.
They did here before 9 came out. They had them all. I think like AMC did something where they just like every weekend they showed a different one leading up to In Order. Yeah, it was nice. And I went to see a couple of them that I hadn't seen in the theater. I hadn't seen Fast 5 in the theater. I went to see that.
Ooh.
Awesome.
Oh.
So good.
No notes.
That's a great one to see in the theater because it's just so high octane like
yes.
the whole time.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You're doing, it's the hooting hollering like drink machine thing
yes.
for like 2+ hours.
Boom. Yes. I have a question for the team here, and that is so there's like a lot of introductions I feel like in this movie, some just as like cameos, things like that. How do we feel about Kurt Russell as Mr. Nobody? Because I feel
Love
like
it.
I delight.
He's from like a completely different movie.
Yes.
And yet
7,000%.
It's still fun. Like
yes. He's
this is
so
the one where they're
tan.
Like, oh my god.
Yeah.
He probably spends a lot of time in Dubai.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Canonically.
Yeah, definitely.
But this is the one where they're like, we need like some, you know, Mission Impossible spy thing to go down. Who can we call but this weird team of like race car drivers?
Yes.
To get it for us?
Right.
It's just who you call, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the only idea they had.
Yeah.
It's like he already assembles the team though too. Like
when Ben finally says yes,
he's like, "Oh, don't worry. I got your boys coming right now." Oh, and Letty as
the
well.
The boys and Letty.
So good. He knows. Mr. Yes. Nobody is keyed into the Familia discourse 100%.
I think it's so funny between like this one and Furious 6 when like in that one it's Hobbs who's like, okay, I have nobody to turn to
right.
but you, Dominic Toretto.
Drivers.
Yes.
Who steal DVD players.
I know. It's so, it really is like a wonderful escalation.
Huge.
Having watched these
yes.
back to back, but now it's like you can't really argue that they don't have experience. Like Roman's whole thing where he's like, all right, you wanted me to blow up a plane, I blew up the plane, but this is crazy. I'm like, I mean, you did blow up a plane like a couple months ago.
Yes.
I think you're gonna be fine.
No, I agree.
No, that's good.
I love him. I think it's just because he's also so like winking and kind of like knowy about everything, you know what I mean? It's like there's a clear like revenge story where it's just, you know, Dom going after Jason and it's like a tete-a-tete, but because there's just like this additional like global threat thrown in, even though it could feel so ham-fisted, it kind of just like works.
I think it's a little ham-fisted. I did enjoy it, but I feel like this was probably realistically
you're like, this is the limit
the
for you?
First film where I was like, okay.
Oh no.
I love literally everything except for the God's Eye subplot, which I think is just so funny. Maybe it's because it's such a classic example of like, we have a hacking thing that can see
everything
in
yeah.
the entire world, and we use it to figure out that there are people driving in cars. Like it's I just feel like it's very like classic, like plug and play,
yeah.
like big franchise business. It's the grounded version of Blue Beam in the Sky.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Like just a MacGuffin, this is MacGuffin to MacGuffin.
It's pretty MacGuffin-y. Yeah.
We should go to MacGuffin's beforehand.
MacGuffin's Bar and Grill, baby.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's weird that this franchise hasn't done the blue beam in the sky thing. Now that you bring that up, I'm like, oh, this is like one of the one things, one of the one movie series that has never had that.
Well, they're saving it for
it's
for
time.
F10. Should it be like an oil beam in the sky instead? Like, what is it going to be?
You have to think of something.
Yeah. A NOS beam!
Fuck, Emma.
Oh, baby.
It's a beam, but it's just shaped like a big car.
In. Perfect.
I got ideas.
Yeah. Universal, hire her. I agree, though. But I feel like Nathalie, you know, for all intents and purposes, like, sells her hacking. I love when she logs on and Tej is just like, oh my god, this is the hottest thing that anyone's ever done. And then ultimately it's just him driving to an abandoned warehouse where you're like, oh, I wonder where he is. This makes sense.
Shout out to Tej literally having like the biggest arc in this, like this whole series, going from just some dude who likes to watch speedboat competitions to like understanding hacking on such a molecular level that Letty has to be like English Tej to him while cutting some wires. Like, what? Who could have thought from such humble beginnings he would be the English guy?
Growth.
That is so, that's like a high bar to be able to hit.
And I love that he is what this franchise sees as like a nerd. Like, yes. I don't know if you guys watch Billions, but a couple seasons, maybe it was last season, maybe it was a couple seasons ago, they had this character who's like this fine artist who makes these pieces that everyone's obsessed with, and he's played by Frank Grillo. And I remember talking to someone else and he was like, it's exactly the kind of like in this universe, this is what an artist looks like, you know. In the Fast and Furious universe, a nerd
so
looks like Tej.
Looks like Ludacris.
The Punisher is like your nerd. He's like coming, yeah. Just so ripped. You're like, oh my god,
that is so good.
That's so good. Now that you're saying that, though, I'm just thinking of other meatheads that we should get in franchises. I'm just thinking like John Bernthal would be so fucking good in a Fast and the Furious movie.
He would rip it up.
If you get like
Bernthal would be great.
Like Italian to like Wolf of Wall Street, like Mama's Pasta's boy kind of Bernthal, you know.
He would be doing, I feel like he'd be playing it really straight too, and everyone else would be kind of doing their heightened Fast and Furious thing, but he'd be probably doing like what he usually does, which is like just play a normal guy under duress.
Right, right. It's like that scene that was going around Twitter a while ago where it's like he's looking to get his like water refilled or something like that, right?
From Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, so it's like that anxiety the whole time just in the background while like this insane car shit's happening. Like, that sounds great.
It really does. I love that these films at this point, because this is not what I would have predicted. I mean, there's many things I would not have predicted, but I wouldn't have predicted this sort of like villain per movie, like big deal, like that we have to, who's going to be the new villain of the Fast and Furious. It feels very like Bondy or Mission Impossible. Like, who are we going to bring in? Who's new?
It's definitely the most Bondy, I feel like, of it. Even like with them getting into tuxes and everything, you know?
Yes, definitely.
The country hopping and everything, you know?
But like, to your point, Emma, it's very much like the Fast and Furious version where it's like, it's a music video.
Yeah.
Like in Dubai.
They can't help themselves when they cut to the party and they're like, women!
Yeah.
I was counting the butts in this movie. I meant to bring this up earlier. I think I got to like 23, but I think I lost count somewhere on like the beach. There's like beach stuff going on. And I was like, and it kept cutting. So I couldn't get all the butts.
Honestly,
but 23 plus.
This is the kind of research and care that every guest should be bringing to the podcast.
You did the work.
This is the background that we need.
That's insane.
The butt tally.
This is a very butt heavy movie. It's because they're in some tropical locations.
Well, even Race Wars, they're just Race like, Wars. Here we go.
Yeah.
It does sort of feel like they're like, oh, we have to do, you know, we have to shoot this the way that we shot this before to make it look familiar. What do we need to do that? Women and bikinis and not much else.
That's all
just
we got.
Just walking around.
Right.
Because
well, they bring back the guy too from Fast One where they're like, see, look, remember Butts? He's back too.
He's here. But usually there are like engine shots and there are no engine shots in this.
Is there any NOS going through the car?
There's not.
No.
Whoa.
I mean, they don't even hit the NOS until Vin Diesel uses it to launch his Dodge Charger into a helicopter.
As one does.
As you do. Shout out to that slow-mo sequence where the helicopter pilot just turns the helicopter. Really excellent. But Yes, I did notice that. It was very funny. They even give Ramsay the very like Bond girl like
out of
coming out of the water shot. They do it like three times. It's one of those like I like that. I don't know. The movies are sort of blurring it together a little bit in my mind. So I feel like
watching a lot of them in a row?
It's I feel like my brain is slowly being rewired. I'm not gonna know what to do with myself when it's over. Yeah. But like I think that this probably isn't the first movie to do it, but I am such a sucker for when a big like action moment sequence happens. Mm. Like I don't know, when Dom and Shaw like head smash their cars together and they show
his car like
no I'm talking in the beginning.
Oh, okay, the first
time.
Yeah.
Completely purposeless.
Yes.
Destroying their cars.
I mean,
that there's a first time and a second time. As well.
Yeah. Listen, they're jousting. It's a dick competition. And yes.
It's the Chekhov's car on suspenders.
Yes. 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 But they show that ramming like three times.
Yeah.
And they do it a bunch of other times, and I'm such a sucker for that, where it's like continuity wise this doesn't make sense, but like
as
filmmakers
looks,
know that you want to see this happen multiple times. It's my favorite thing.
The rules.
And like, hey, if I had to crash two cars together and I was getting it from like six different camera angles, I would want to use a couple. Like, I respect
it. Yeah, you put them all in there. You did that.
Why would you kill your darlings when you could show them?
Exactly. It's maximalist.
Absolutely.
Maximalist cinema.
God, this
it's
whole,
a movement.
God, all of these fucking sequences. Because I forgot, not like just for a moment, that they literally have that first one. And
they're
I was
in
like,
the
oh,
Staples
right,
Center,
this,
Jordan.
I know. This honestly, it does feel so nice to go back to LA, doesn't it, Brooke?
It does.
When they were in the neighborhood, I'm like, I'm home again. This feels so nice.
We are very hot off of watching Ambulance recently.
A masterpiece, yes.
A masterpiece. So good.
Great film.
The camera never stops. Jake never stops snorting cocaine. It's perfect.
All the drone stuff where you go from way high up to way down low. So
yes.
Good.
So oh excellent. God, we've invoked good. Ambulance now in I think like three different episodes.
Probably.
So if people want to like do some like archive work and piece together when we're recording everything, honestly, power to you. But that film also heavily features the Los Angeles Staples Center parking garage, which I didn't know was such a hot spot to meet up and smash cars together.
That's where we all must, Brooke.
Apparently so.
Calling this that we've already posted this photo, but when we go to take our photo in front of Toretto's Cafe, we should smash cars together just to like make it, you know, thematically appropriate.
If you get me like a little toy car, I will smash it with you.
Okay, cool. Great.
Okay, noted. Thank you.
Anywho, I also want to bring up the fact that Lucas Black comes back and that Lucas Black looks like he's 60 now.
Back in black, one might say.
Wow.
He looks older.
Yeah.
He doesn't look too good. They're really not doing him any favors by juxtaposing the previous scenes from OG Tokyo Drift. Although I guess now this is like, I guess it's not the completion of the Han arc, but this is low-key the completion of the...
Yeah, I would say it's like a period before he returns.
The timeline is now reset.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fully.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't have anything else to say about Lucas Black. Kind
no
of
thoughts.
Hilarious that he's just there. Does he come back?
Yes.
He does.
Again?
Yes. And he looks even older.
This poor man.
This poor man. He's still rocking that southern accent, though.
Ooh, I don't know if he can
shake really it. Twangs it out. It's aggressive.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like that was the big cameo, other than like the
Iggy
Azalea
T-Pain is
one.
Here.
Yeah.
I scream.
It's like
I
a
forget
jump scare.
She's in this movie every time I watch it.
It's like, crazy.
Oh, look. It's her.
It's
and
that.
Then she has a song at the end too.
Yes,
a credit song.
Yes,
it's her and Wiz are
it's
really
Wiz,
just
yeah.
like carbon dating when the fuck this movie existed in American pop culture. It's crazy.
Iggy Azalea was a moment in time because T-Pain is also in this, and I feel like T-Pain
He's
is kind
lasted.
Of like eternal. Do you
right.
know what I mean? But
yeah.
Iggy, like, extremely specific.
Uh huh.
So
she's
good.
Giving it her all, I'll say that.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm,
working,
mm-hmm.
is it? Not really, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean...
I mean, canonically, I would expect her to be at Race Wars. I would think that's something that the Iggy Azalea in the Fast and Furious franchise would do that. I believe it.
Oh, for sure, yes.
I mean, you can dress up, you can spectate. It's it's a whole situation.
How far out of LA do you think Race Wars is?
Isn't it like up past Malibu, right?
Is it north? I was thinking west, like you're headed towards, like, you know.
West? You mean into the ocean?
Oh, fuck. no. East, like you're headed towards like the, you know, desert and stuff like that.
I think it's northeast because I don't know if we're getting really, really
everyone
molecular.
Loves this. Everyone really wants
everyone
to know this.
Everyone is so excited
yes,
about
people
this.
Love LA geography.
They Niche need to go to New LA York content. So we can get some like New York energy. But
they do.
Do they? When? Did I already miss it?
No, I think it's in Fate because they do like a car chase in Manhattan and everyone's just like, that could never happen.
It's amazing.
You go 10 miles an hour and then you stop at the stoplight and then you go and then you stop at the next stoplight. Yeah,
all
it's
these
great,
people
though.
Are walking here. Oh yeah, no.
Show some respect for those of us who are walking here.
Who are walking
right,
here.
Right. They should go into the subway and it's like a subway chase, you know?
When will we have a Boston set Fast and Furious?
Oh, babe. Oh, Brooke, don't tease me with that. They're taking the tea and they turn to Boylston. It's just squeaking on the subway.
Yeah.
Great.
They are like running out of big metropolises to terrorize. I feel like Boston's soon.
They are. They destroy Fenway like Godzilla does.
Oh, God.
You know?
Oh,
Mothra
yeah.
comes in to save the day.
It's actually, it was really only a matter of time until they hit the Middle East. I'm so surprised it took them like this long. Yeah. I guess they really only started going international in like five and six.
Yeah.
But I was like, they have to. You have to, and you have to do these sweeping sand dune shots, and you have to drop a track that sounds vaguely Middle Eastern in a vaguely offensive way. I mean, it's just, it's essential.
As soon as you see like big helicopter shots over like two-story buildings with flat roofs and you hear like the call to prayer in the background.
Yep,
like, okay,
yep.
I guess I know where we are.
Oh, there's no other way to know. And like that combined with the Get Low needle drop.
Oh my which... God. This is really like throwing me back to a time I don't know if I want to remember.
I think that like this is probably like this 2013 to 2015 is probably the first like period of pop culture that I feel like I, not that I remember obviously, but that I remember with like agency as an actual person and not just like a child who was experiencing like pop culture through the eyes of like my parents. Like I very intensely remember Get Low playing at every school dance that I ever went to.
Yep. I was so into dubstep at that point too.
Don't tell me that. Really?
Weren't we all?
I was a young bi boy closeted trying to fit in. What else was I going to get into?
I mean,
I'm sorry.
I can think of a few
Diplo,
things.
The Dylan Francis, DJ Snakes, all that shit. Like the, I went to like a
Jesus
concert
Christ.
With it all. I was like, yeah, this was like a traumatizing period in my life.
I guess in retrospect, your snapback period makes sense.
What do you think? I'm feeling too much here.
No. It's very important context. Listen, you're whatever image you're picturing of Jordan right now in your head is probably accurate.
Of me at that
about
time.
About a few.
Or me. Yeah.
Me at that time. Wow.
I will say I watched this movie's trailer a lot, and Get Low is featured heavily in the trailer. And it was about that time when I was also like making like yearly playlists. I would do this like every year I make a playlist. And that song is on my 2015 playlist because of this movie, really.
I mean, it's a banger. It's still on my iTunes. Like, I paid, like, 69 cents or
whatever. So you were coming for me for having this sensibility when you liked the song.
I would not say that I was into dubstep. I think it's two very different things.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to get shit off me.
I mean, come on. This is my Tumblr period. There's plenty to make fun of if you're looking to make fun of me. But yeah, I mean, it's a banger. What can I say? I remember the music video is very pivotal because it includes very complicated choreography. And I believe it is vaguely Middle Eastern themed, which is always fun.
I think they sample something. I'd have to look this up. But I think they do. I don't know. I don't remember. But I think there is a sample in this song that is like from a Middle Eastern artist.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
100%.
Wouldn't be shocked. Just like Dom and the fam, you know, roll up in Dubai, suited out, looking fly, never hotter. You know how you can look that hot? Wearing super yaki.
You already know what it is.
Oh, boy.
They truly do look so fitted, and you also want to look this fitted, especially when it comes to movies and filmmakers that you love.
Oh.
Love letters to cinema. Who doesn't want to be dripped out in that?
Come on, guys.
Especially when super yaki offers such a wide selection of shirts, hats, basketball shorts, new edition,
ooh, books,
socks, pins, along with so much merch and so many incredible collaborations with independent artists from around the internet. And they are always coming out with something new. So
always.
You don't like what they have? Not just likely. Wait. Check back in a week. They have a whole new drop full of amazing stuff. We love Super Yaki. We can't say enough good things about them.
All my outfits, they're all Super Yaki.
It's true. And they are a company that you can feel good about buying from. They always use sustainable poly mailers and truly have some of the most thoughtful and caring people in the world on their team, at least from our experience.
Yes. All delightful at Super Yaki.
We love Super Yaki, and we think that you should check them out if you haven't yet, or make a little repeat visit, because guess what? Regardless of what number trip this is to the Super Yaki store, ooh, we have a gift for you.
Oh boy, do we.
Part of the family.
Once you're in the family, you're always with the family.
If you listened to this episode and want to check them out, you can use code SUPERQQ for 10% off your order. That's SUPERQQ, all caps, no spaces. Go back to the movies, enjoy yourself, buy yourself something nice, be part of the fam, get dripped out, all of the good things, and check it out at superyaki.com. That's SUPERYAKI.com.
Don't worry, Brooke. I just got to get dressed up and smash my way through three buildings now.
Sounds great. I'll come
with you. Super Yaki's got to go to work.
Amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to get us on track.
We are on track.
No, we are on track. Yeah. I just need a way from my past. So I enjoy, if we're just thinking about like the queer undertones, I really do enjoy the sequence with the Rock in the hospital bed. And one, it's the jump scare where we all learn that he has a daughter.
Classic.
Which is a shocking development to this character who maybe shouldn't have a daughter, but I'm glad does just for the line delivery alone.
I just think it's so classic Dwayne Johnson to be like, I'm in enough movies now that I need to quote unquote flesh out my character, which means that I should get a child and nothing else.
I would like a family, please. One of whom family will be represented in this scene.
Right. But it's not like the lack of a wife, I feel like, is also always so fascinating with The Rock, because he's always a dad, but is
but
never
he's
like
never
a
married
lover. If
never
that makes
a husband.
Sense. Right. Always
a bridesmaid. Never a bride.
Yes.
It's actually so interesting to think about, like, why? Because, like, I find it hard to believe that he thinks that he needs to preserve his, like, quote unquote sex symbol status by never being connected with another woman. Do you think it's because every time they put him with a woman on screen, it just seems like he would rather be doing anything else other than interacting with her?
It is off-putting. I mean, I remember in Jungle Cruise, even, it was weird. And that was like, they really leaned heavily on that. And I was like, why are you doing that? You could just not do this and it would be fine. Mm-hmm. I forget what the thinking was back there.
I do think I could write like a dissertation on like the Rock's on screen romantic history. Because like obviously in real life he has a family. They seem very happy. They are so cute, like great. But the way that he handles like family as a concept, particularly like partner versus children, is so interesting.
It's so fascinating.
And
yeah,
I don't really know why.
He's often like a single dad or like a divorced dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Usually he has like ex-wives.
Yes.
I remember in like San Andreas, I think that was the thing.
Yeah.
Probably.
Good movie.
And his romantic relationships are very like tactical, or they're played mostly for comedy. I think like the last romantic relationship that I felt like I was like actually feeling something, to be fair, I haven't seen Jungle Cruise, I'm sure the chemistry is just leaping off the screen, was weirdly Jumanji, the first one, where like I'm not saying it's much
Karen Gillan,
but him and because he's playing like a very insecure like high school
boy
trapped in like this body that he doesn't understand, and I feel like him and Karen Gillan like getting together is like actually kind of sweet, because he's like unsure, and in a way you're like, is this like how you really feel? Like, because that's okay if it is, but then of course like that never happens again. Anyway, I don't know. The
That's
Rock
a good call, though,
is
yeah.
a fascinating man to me, clearly, because I have brought him up, I think, on every episode.
Well,
where
I mean,
he's been
I think
in.
This one specifically is like you can start to see the, you know, the seams of which the relationship are starting to fray a little bit, and like how certain, like you can, I feel like at least for me, when that first fight scene, you can sort of start to see the punch counting, where it's like everyone has sort of like equal damage to each other, and like obviously the Rock has to be hospitalized, so there has to be something that gets him, and it's him like sacrificing himself on a grenade for Elena,
right?
You know,
he saves a woman. He saves
a woman.
Woman. Yes.
And he falls into a car.
How many stories does he fall?
At least three.
And it's just his arm that breaks? That's it?
They're like, he cracked a couple of ribs, I think they say, and his collarbone or something.
Well, for Hobbs, that heals within like 2 hours. Yeah. That's nothing.
He has the super soldier serum.
It's the sweat. As we've said before on Fast Five, the sweat acts like a Dune shield for him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. The Under Armour sponsorship is coming in really hot, I feel like, movie.
Oh, of course, yes.
Yeah. It's
those
very prominent.
Tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should just say, like, introduce him doing paperwork, but like sweating buckets because he's just been at the gym. Emma is doing a pitch perfect Dwayne Johnson impression. Yeah. Like, what? Because you never see him working out.
Right.
But you have to have the implication that he was just working out and is now doing paperwork.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, look, when I've been typing for a while, I'm glistening. You know, I look post swim. You know, post reps, whatever the fuck they do in the gym. I don't know.
Rep sounds about right. You gotta keep the towel nearby. Just
I like
to, like,
the idea that he was swimming, though. So he's like, he was in a pool and they just went to the office without drying off or anything. So he's just like,
he doesn't have time. He's gotta go to his paperwork.
Right.
Practices stamp skill.
The heat of his body will vaporize the water eventually.
Right, right.
Oh my God. Okay, wait. Did you have a point about queer context, though?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Sorry. Well, the fight with Hobbs and Shaw is obviously loaded in their like one-upsmanship, but when Dom goes and you get sort of like the head-to-head, and I feel like this is where at least a lot of the queer subjects in this one is a lot more of the homo-bromo-erotic, you know, arena.
Yes.
And it's a lot about like them trying to one-up each other in front of his daughter, where it's like, oh, ha-ha, he's on pain meds, and he's like, oh, ha-ha, he's a liar, you know, like all that back and forth where you're just like, if these two men were dating, they would be so much happier.
Yeah.
These are all movies, especially the later ones, they're all about men who are obsessed with each other.
Yes.
In a way that could be read as sort of a little bit sexual, because they're all just like, it's all they think about is like these guys that they either really love or really hate.
Yes.
Yes.
There's no in between.
Yeah. The wall between those two emotions is very thin.
It's a fine line between love and hate. And I think that, I don't know, Shaw is like a very good example of that in this one, because like we said, he just pops up wherever they happen to be. Like, it's so funny. And like, it really is. I do agree that like, this is where you can feel like the battle of the egos really coming into play, where he and Vin are like too evenly matched, and it's like you can never really like feel like the proper one-upsmanship, so they just like are locked in this eternal battle of wills. Very enticing, very obsessive.
Too many bald action guys in one film.
Yeah.
That was the problem.
We have a cap
one
on
or two.
Two
is fine. When you get a third in there,
no.
It's like they're like, oh yeah, we're poly, we're fine. Bring in the third. And it's like, the relationship's not working.
Someone's a little jelly.
Yeah. Someone's liking this person a little too much. This some bitch.
Yeah, some bitch. Why does Dwayne Johnson get why does he get a little southern when he needs to deliver an insult? Or what does he say at the end when he's like, I'll be waiting to put you in a body bag? It's like, I have questions.
My brother in Christ, you are from New York.
There's that line too at the beginning where he's saying something about sticking something where the sun don't shine.
Yeah.
Is like...
Yes. And it's
where
weird,
did you hear that, Dwayne?
He says, I remember this, he says where the sun doesn't shine, as opposed to just leaning in and saying where the sun don't shine, which is the correct expression. It's too good.
Oh my fucking God.
This is probably his best dialogue.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. This and
it never
five
gets
are his
better
best
than
performances.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
when he... Like, we've obviously talked about Daddy's Gotta Go to Work, but him also then carrying, like, a Gatling gun down the street.
Just
like,
walking with
the
it.
Fuck?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Woman,
I am the cavalry.
Is
great.
So funny. Also,
that's
like,
my sister's favorite line. She will, like, text me it when I'm saying
it. Oh,
like,
really?
Fast, and she's like, woman, I am
the
cavalry.
That was my Letterboxd review, because it was
incredible.
I thought it was so funny. I mean, it's also, like, anyone that's, like, woman to Michelle Rodriguez, I would expect them to, like, immediately... stop breathing.
Yeah.
Like, that's
like, I'm so sorry. I didn't
yeah.
I didn't mean
I didn't
to say
that. It's so funny. And it's like Letty and Hobbs have like almost no relationship because they don't know each other.
Yeah, she's been gone.
She's had amnesia.
Yeah, that's true. And they never really have a scene. It would be good if they had a scene where they're like, hi, I'm Hobbs. Oh, hello, I'm Letty. We've never met. That's funny.
Oh my God, this is so cute of us. We're finally meeting.
Yeah. Exactly. Didn't they do that in something recently where it was like, oh my God, these people haven't met and we just realized it, then we have to introduce them to each other? I'm sure it was something.
It might have been Star Wars, I think, maybe.
Well, like
some dumb tie-in.
Definitely Star Wars. I feel like Fast Five, they do it when they all bring everyone together and they're like, here's this person. Oh, yeah.
It was Ray and Poe.
Me and Brian used to date. Oh, I work with Brian. You know, they're all like meeting each other.
Yeah, it was Ray and Poe at the end of Last Jedi when we were like, they've never met.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's like a very good example of like how these big franchises work, where it's like sometimes the off-screen chemistry is more important than the on-screen chemistry because you have to be a united unit for the actual film. The more ensemble-y like a franchise gets, the more that you like actually don't really have to interact on screen. Mm. Like you break off into your little like
teams,
threesomes or whatever. I mean, like I can already see the evolution of the Roman Tej Ramsey like
thruple
situation, because like they're never gonna rip apart Roman and Tej, because if they did, they would like have nobody else to go to, like, so they have to keep them
they
together.
Have no one to do banter with. They're the only banter guys, really.
Yeah, it's all important. And I think it's so funny that like I like that they're like, oh my God, the hacker is a hot woman. What, crazy.
They pulled it back and it was like Wallace Shawn. Like they lift up the hood.
That's what it should be next, is that like someone's like, we're tracking this incredibly like strong asset, we think that like they have like incredible powers of seduction or something insane, and then
Wallace Shawn. Hello,
you can do it,
come in.
Okay. Looking at this, let's see other sequence. Okay, wait, speaking of ambulance, just because we're here.
Oh, okay.
When they're on the phone in the Dominican and you have Brian calling Jordana, or is it, I forget who's talking, but the camera is just 360ing around
it's,
them,
it's Brian
is
and
Mia. Fucking awesome, where
it's
just
so
like
funny.
We're going in circles, let's keep this energy up, and you're like, you can just hold on like the camera, but it's like, no, we are fucking moving,
we have to make this scene dynamic, we have to keep people's interest,
right? And you're like, oh my God, sure, yes, please.
Yeah. It's good. Also, like, am I supposed to know who Mia goes to stay with in the DR? Is that just
like a friend of the fam,
but is he in the other one?
I don't remember him.
Okay, well, you're not helpful.
I think it's like a cameo. I think it was this guy named Romeo Santos, I believe, if anyone knows who he is.
Oh, I think he's in 2.
Ah.
Okay.
I don't remember the early ones very well.
When
so
he
know.
Appeared, I was like, he is probably somebody, but I do not remember. Further proof that these are blurring together in my mind.
Right.
But it's, well, you know, it's all part of the family. You know what I'm saying?
The further you go, the stronger family gets. You know?
Yeah.
I do like that we go and we get an LA street race again. That's fun, where he chases after him through the streets before we get to the first crashing into each other.
Because
we haven't had like
after
an LA race sort of in a bit.
Yeah. I fully am expecting, given how these films have unraveled themselves, in F9 for there to be a scene of Han watching his own funeral, a la Vin and Paul watching Letty's funeral from afar.
Yes,
that was too good. When it like zooms out to show Brian, and then it zooms out more to show Dom.
And then
so good.
Dom has like fucking Spidey vision and is able to like recognize that Jason Statham is there. He's like, I gotta go.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's kind of on them to know that like an extremely like powerful supervillain is chasing them, and yet all attend the same funeral in like open air LA cemetery.
Yes,
don't know about that one, guys.
Maybe not a safe thing to do at that point.
Maybe not a safe space for us to be in. But it's really hilarious to be watching Han's funeral and like
know
that Han isn't dead.
Yes. He's got to go back and get Han.
Yeah. Like, what? I mean, I guess they sort of zoom past all of the details.
Yeah. I'm well, I do like that they have like the back. It's hilarious that the necklace, the, you know, the gigantic Van Christ necklace Nan had, or was like left there rather.
But it's also their wedding rings.
It's the bonds that become hold them together. Like
totem that keeps showing up and all the gotta have it
because it's there from the first movie, right?
Yeah,
this little cross necklace.
Yeah,
but like they keep using it as this like token of Vin, but then it eventually becomes like a token for the family, which I feel like is just like absolutely classic. Yeah, I think it's nice that Han has it and then Letty has it, and it's like everyone is just like one big happy family, literally.
Sisterhood of the traveling cross necklace.
Gotta wear that and like roll up to the club and just see what people think. Just like what is this?
The traveling ice. I dig it. It never looks as good as when it's sitting between Vin Diesel's pecs, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Looks right so natural.
It does. No one else could
it's
pull
meant
that
to
off.
Be there. It's nestled safely. I think we've hit on most of the cameos except for Ronda Rousey, which we said that we needed to talk about.
Oh my god, there's so much to talk about there.
So good. And her and the like other female bodyguards with like the headgear on and shit. That's cool.
Kind of a vibe.
That's awesome.
Kind of a vibe. Mm-hmm. I love that, like, so Michelle Rodriguez obviously can like kick some fucking ass.
Yes.
So I appreciate between like last movie with Gina Carano and Ronda Rousey here that like they are giving her like opponents that she can actually like go up against, which is nice. And I think like this is one of the, I mean, in this one they're obviously in like fancy dresses and heels, which is so classic, but like I always appreciate a female centric fight that feels like they're actually like landing hits on each other.
Oh yeah.
Well,
like Letty comes out looking like a fucking mess. She's just like, get me the fuck out of here. What was that?
Yeah, I mean they crashed through a DJ booth. Like real shit is going down. I appreciate that. Don't know if Ronda Rousey is really bringing the heat, but love to see her nonetheless.
Yeah, she's kind of there to be there and to do a fight, and then the dialogue is secondary.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Okay, I'll tell you a little story. So I was talking about Entourage with my parents when I was home, because like when I first started working in like entertainment business, they were like, so what do you do? And I was like, well, it's kind of like Entourage. Have you guys seen Entourage? Like that is like the closest comparison like that I have. And my dad was like, I've only seen the episode with Ronda Rousey. And I was
oh my god,
what? Like, what do you mean? Apparently, she's in some episode of Entourage that either is played in hotel rooms or on planes a lot, or just my dad happens to have really good luck because he's like, that's the only episode of Entourage I've seen, but I've seen it like 5 times.
He's a Ronda Rousey stan?
I think it was during this period where she was like kind of jumping between like...
She was everywhere. MMA, I feel like that's sort of like, this is why she's in this movie, is like she was such... I mean, at least like in my brain, she was such a thing, and like Hollywood was really trying to be like, we're bringing Ronda to the screen. And everyone kind of collectively said, eh. But she was in like this. She was in Expendables 3. She was in Mile 22, a film that everybody remembers. And she was in Charlie's Angels 2019, which is another film that everyone remembers.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, I would say, a long career, but I feel like this was like the peak of that. Like, I remember it was such a big deal when everyone was like, Ronda Rousey's in Furious 7, guys.
Yeah, I remember being really excited about that. I mean, it's cool. She's cool. I still am. Yeah. I still like that there's, you know, in this movie about beefy men, there is also space for very
beefy
muscly
women.
Yes.
It's equal opportunity.
It's the Butch relationship across the board.
Anything that you like, you want like thin, hot women, you want thin, hot men, you want big, buff dudes, you want big, buff ladies.
Got it all.
We got
it's
you.
All.
We got you. Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's like I said, it's really great to see like an actual tactical, like female-centric fight sequence.
I love when she like pulls out the knife too.
Classic.
Which like feels, you're like, oh shit, this is getting very real.
If you're wearing a fancy dress, you are legally obligated to also have a knife strapped to your thigh that you can pull out in an opportune moment.
I do that every time I go anywhere in a nice clothes, just in case.
Just in case.
You never know when a Ronda Rousey may appear.
And it can be a multi-tool, you know? Mm. You can like use it to cut your dress if the slit isn't high enough to run. I mean, it's a classic move. It's a good thing to keep on hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like that whole sequence, this was very much a movie of sequences, but I feel like all of them work so
it is
well.
Indeed a movie of sequences.
Like, I love that.
It do be like that.
Really. But like, I love that it kind of falls apart. Like, obviously their plan doesn't work, and I love that they resort to just chaos of just like driving through the party around and around. And of course, Deckard Shaw shows up as he always would.
As he must. I do think like... I was waiting for them to run him over. I was like, please, can we run this guy over? Like, for the love of God. And then they do. So I appreciated that. But like, although I think the bus jump probably like has my heart, I was the most gobsmacked at the fact that they just jumped a car in between high rises.
Yes.
And I love how they make such a big deal of this like a beautiful supercar and then just destroy it. Totally gone.
There's only six of them in the world or something.
Now there's five.
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. I was actually surprised that they did. There wasn't a line about that. I was waiting for it.
Yeah.
It didn't come. That's okay. I'll forgive them. The Terracotta Warriors really hurt my heart.
It's a classic thing. It's like so Bugs Bunny where you're like, ah, here's this museum of art.
Not and you the know Terracotta it's gonna get destroyed, Warriors.
But it's so funny that it gets destroyed. It's never not funny. A good museum gag always works.
It hurt a little bit, but I accept it.
It's so good. Because they also just, it's just destroying the shit out of everything. It's like there's not one piece of art in there that is coming out okay.
Yeah. I just, it's so, they're so high. It does make no sense, but also it kind of like does make sense. I think like there's a very fine line that these movies are walking where it's like obviously the stunts are ridiculous, but they are grounded in a certain sense of reality where it's like
if you yeeted a car out of a building, how far could you go?
Like you those buildings are close enough together that you could do this in theory, maybe not in practice, but it's not like I don't know.
Establish that it gets to like 220, 260 in like 10 seconds or whatever. So it can go really fast.
Right.
Which is physically what you need in my head to get from one building to another.
I think so too.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like when they're literally jumping cars out of a plane and you're like, okay, but like if the parachutes go out at that time, like they do float down and they have a pretty rough landing. This feels right. I'm sure it is completely ludicrous. We need a whole Mythbusters like epic series like
breakdown of
on
the
like
franchise.
Which stunts are physically possible.
I want to see them get inside cars and then drop themselves out of planes. Yes. They need to do it for real or else I'm not going to believe them.
Listen,
I'd volunteer. Why not? I'll go as tribute.
It either has to be that or like an Interstellar level of like, we did all the physics, we did the math, and we determined that you can in fact jump a car out of a plane.
Like scientists actually learned something from our movie.
Yes. Tactical weapons, like military grade.
Nonsense.
Understanding from the Fast and Furious movies.
I think it's so funny when Dom is like the only one to land clean, and then it's like a Subaru for Brian. You're like, the sure, this nice blue Subaru. And then like Letty kind of lands okay, and then Tej is just in the woods. It's just so funny how Vin is just always so precise and on the money.
Yeah.
And that the car has just these two big ass red things in the back of it.
Yeah, his like extra tires.
Or it's like, well, it's like the muscle suit because he combined his car with like The Rock's big tough car or whatever.
Because he needs the cage for when he flips down the mountain.
Right,
for when he goes. That scene, I remember thinking like, oh, it's going to turn into like an ATV. All the stuff is going to come off and he's going to keep going. No, he's just crashing the fuck out of the car.
Yes.
Yes.
I also thought that was going to happen or that he had like a backup parachute that like would get him to like float down. I was certainly not expecting just like stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah, no, it's just falling.
It could have been, like in like the Dark Knight or whatever when he like becomes like the little motorcycle or something. Like you could totally see that like where it detaches.
Transformers
and, like, there they go.
Style.
Like a Tron light cycle thing.
Yes. Oh my God. When Vin Fireman carries Kurt Russell out of the exploding building.
Like too a good. Sack of potatoes.
One of the greatest things of all time.
I don't want to have anything spoiled for me, but I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that this is not the last time that we see Kurt Russell.
Brooke, no.
We left him vaguely bleeding on the side of
his helicopter was coming to get him.
Yeah. Mr. Nobody's always around. He's out there.
Yeah.
He's just waiting.
In the shadows. Yes. The best way to draw out a shadow is to shed a little light on it, as he says. I've always secretly wanted to like be the screenwriter that's writing these like kind of like nonsensical spy heavy jargon speeches for like deeply respected veteran actors.
It's so cool.
Who have to be like, so as we know, the God's Eye can pinpoint any security camera on Earth and hack into it. Like, right. It's, what is that like?
Well, you know, Helen, I've already said the Helen Mirren thing, but it's like when Helen Mirren comes into the franchise and you're like, this is an upgrade. And it's like, she's just saying card gibberish and it's just flirting with Vin. And it's just like the most delightful thing that this like well-respected actress is just like in this franchise.
I know that F8 is not particularly well regarded, but I am excited for the entrance of Charlize Theron. I'm a little scared.
Are you excited for her dreadlocks?
I don't know if I'm excited for the dreads. But yeah, I know Kurt Russell, seriously a pro,
delivers.
Kind of wild to see him without a beard.
Why were you thinking about him as Santa?
Hot Santa, you mean? And Guardians 2 is like the year after this, 2 years after
God,
this.
God, yeah, pretty close. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, I think mm-hmm. so.
He was in full daddy mode. Yeah,
and still is.
True, always is.
Damn
yes.
straight.
Maybe they bring Wyatt in, and it becomes a family affair, and like Wyatt Russell is like Mr. Somebody, or like
Mr. Somebody.
What this, do you? How do you like tie them together? You know,
this is
well,
the
there's,
moment.
I think in F8 they do that with Scott Eastwood, and they call him little nobody.
And that lasts really long, and they really bring him back for 9, and they love him so much.
A beloved character that everyone is excited to see.
Poor mm-hmm. Scott Eastwood.
Really love him.
This is
Wyatt Russell would be great at that, though.
He'd be so good.
I literally just put together that Wyatt Russell is obviously Kurt Russell's son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Brooke.
Sorry about that.
If he's giving like everybody wants some energy, where he's just like a stoner.
And he like looks exactly like this is really I'm
he is literally Goldie and Kurt together.
Yeah. This is why I entered the film industry, guys. Does that mean that that's insane. I love learning about celebrity children that I didn't fully process for whatever reason.
Yeah, Kurt Russell was texting him being like, you did such a good job in this week's Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
That is insane. Okay, anyway, I would love to see him in this.
He'd be great.
He should get
him. Great. Yeah.
It's time for a stoner affair. Character in this family.
Yes, absolutely. Before an out and out gay character, let's get a stoner in.
Yeah, you gotta check that box before do it in order.
I do think that this was the movie where I was like, okay, maybe we should introduce somebody gay. I'm almost positive that they won't. But I think that like this was the one where I was like, yeah. There's only so many character types you can go through
before you get a gay.
If they can do it in ambulance, which I thought would be a bad thing, but actually they did it really
actually very
nicely.
Well.
I was
yes.
so nervous last night watching it. I was like, they introduce a gay character and I'm like, Michael Bay, what are you doing? No, 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 no. And then it's like,
it was
not
very good.
Awful. And it's kind of incredible.
They
it's
did
very nice.
The correct thing, which is you have a scene that like clearly establishes that like this guy is not straight, like has a husband, and then you just let him play out the rest of the movie like a normal character. Yes. It's really not hard.
What if Jake Gyllenhaal in Ambulance was in this movie or in like the franchise?
Jake
just
Gyllenhaal,
that
Fast and Furious villain,
coked out energy,
career criminal, Danny something.
Yes,
Danny. Whoever.
I don't remember his name.
Do they ever say their last names?
No. They do. I just don't remember what it is. A lot of ambulance talk on this episode. But very necessary.
Important. Yes.
I mean, it's what is ambulance but a Fast and Furious movie with just one vehicle?
Yes,
an
exactly.
ambulance. I will say
until
in this
there's
movie,
five ambulances.
Yeah. Dwayne Johnson drives an ambulance in this film, and I was like, oh, let's go.
Ambulance representation.
We deserve
it's what we need on screen.
And that this is when he drives the ambulance off the overpass onto the drone plane.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
And then shoots the drone in the eye.
Yes.
As only Dwayne Johnson could do.
Another thing that they worked out the physics for exactly before they shot it, practically.
I do love the prep to the LA fight scene where he's just like sawing a shotgun and everything and just everyone's just getting ready for this like big old fight. It's so good.
Can I actually tell you, like, no joke, my favorite line in this movie?
Yes.
It's a total toss-off line. I can't believe I caught it, but it's when they're prepping for like the LA fight and they have to, they're working out like, oh, we have to be within 2 miles of the drone in order to hack it. And
we get to be close enough but not far enough.
Yeah, and I think it's Vin who says like it's like one big game of like hot potato, and Natalie Emanuel is like, which car is the potato? And Roman goes, girl, you're the potato. Because it's true. She's like jumping from car to car. I mean, she's like, when they
do the transfer of her, it's the coolest thing.
Yeah. It's really good. I like how it seems like they allegedly didn't tell her that that's what they're doing, because who's she driving with? Brian, when he's like, okay, get your seatbelt off. She's like, what do you mean? What are you doing? Delightful. Poor Ramsey. Really thrown into the deep end with no preparation.
Absolutely not.
Just turn her little family instantly, though. Mobile they let hacking her in. Device. Yeah. It's nice. It's really, she's a welcome addition, because it's nice to have, I think, like another female character. Like, I know that Jordana isn't an eight, right? Or is she? I don't know.
Oh,
but like,
God,
it's,
I didn't remember.
It's nice to add like other people besides Letty, even though Letty, I think, is a wonderful like only woman in the franchise like example, right? Because they, I don't know.
Well, it's like you have Elena in five sort of ish. Yeah. You know,
she just keeps showing up every film. I'm like, she won't be
just
in this
you wait
one.
Honey.
She's in more.
More reveals to come.
Oh my God. Yeah.
No, yeah, I think the fam is getting big enough that we need some more gals in there for sure.
Yeah.
Or they're all going to have to start dating each other, which would be fine. But, you know.
Exactly. I mean, Roman and Tej are already spoken for, of course.
Right.
Vin is spoken for. And I think that, like, that's about it. Let's get Ramsey a girlfriend. Come on. F10. Yes.
Her and Bree. Great.
It would roll.
I support it.
What do you think, now that just I posed it, what do you think is going to happen with Elena in a future installment? Or like, what plot development do you think might happen?
Dude, I don't know. She's probably like the character that I think about the least.
Oh, why? You don't sit there silently thinking?
I'm so surprised every time she shows up again. Do they have to pair her off with somebody? Are they
somebody is involved in the sense that there's a person. Yes.
I have no idea what you're referring to. I assume anyone who's seen all the films is laughing right now, and the people that haven't, you can discover it with me next
week.
Two weeks from now.
Or whatever.
Okay, great.
Okay, great.
Well,
anywho,
we'll have that to look forward to.
Any thoughts on the Star Wars fight sequence, Darth Maul style, between Statham and Vin?
I mean, just of course that's what you're drawing the parallel
to. It's the coolest thing. They are fighting with wrenches and like scrap metal like swords. It's
pieces
awesome.
Of their cars they take and they're like, I'm gonna use this as a tool.
Yes,
it's beautiful. I mean, it's a street fight.
Yeah, no, I love in this movie in particular, and in a lot of the movies, but specifically this one, I love how this movie uses cars. Not just as cars, but as like things that you like, people use them to catch people on, like when they're jumping off the bus, or they, you know, the Rock falls on a car and it breaks his fall. It, you know, arguably saves his life.
Yes.
The car, they put the kid in the car when the house blows up, they, you know, shut the door to the van. The cars are like this safe space that can be utilized in many different ways. It isn't just driving really fast.
Yeah,
and of course, with the street fight, they're using parts of their own cars, which are extensions of themselves.
Right. Yes. No, totally.
And even though it's like Vin and Statham have that like punch to punch ratio, the second like ramming of the cars happens when like Vin's Charger like fully like tops the other car. And I think that I think it's a very good call for like cars as extensions of the characters. Yes. And like, I think it's particularly poignant in this one because like they use that at the end where it's like Paul Walker's original car,
right.
And like that whole like they're driving off parallel but like in different directions but like
it's
together
never, it's never goodbye.
It's I think that that is a really smart call, and they are like the safe haven, especially as they introduce the concept of bulletproof cars in this movie, where I feel like the physics and the logic probably made sense up until I would say Furious 6 in terms of how many bullets a car can take before it would be undrivable or a tire would be hit. I'm not complaining. I'm not nitpicking.
I mean, there are like turrets that just like come out of this car and just start just shooting the fuck out of them. Yeah.
I mean, Tej literally uses his Jeep as like a bulletproof shield.
Yes.
For everybody.
They get information behind Tej to be the bullet swallower. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
it's
great.
Awesome. Great. Obviously, like, they are extensions of the characters, as you were saying, and it's so nice to then see like what the cars are, as you were saying, like Brian's Subaru or whatever, and it's like, it's nice that they all have like a specific car, and it's like dumb, but like the specificity of like this person having X car that is X color is like kind of an important thing. And like Dom obviously like having his classic car,
the Charger,
and, right?
It, like, American Muscle,
totally. Yeah. And like The Rock having like his big like tank thing, you know, like yeah. it all checks out for the characters, and like for it to actually be something so specific is kind of so nice, you know.
It's kind of like if this was like an animated thing, that's exactly what they would do. Is they would kind of have the same type of thing for every character all the time.
Yeah. yeah. Like, have you watched any of that animated show or no?
Mm-mm. I feel
like no one has. Yeah.
I actually forgot until you just mentioned it.
That's been the discovery.
Ooh.
Yeah, there. I think there was there were some little behind the scenes videos that were released in advance of this film called quote 7 seconds of Seven, which means that they were releasing 7 second behind Brilliant. The scenes videos.
No
I don't
notes.
Really know what that's supposed to accomplish, but we are talking about it 5 to 7 years later.
We
so.
Are 7 years later.
7 years. Yes.
Are there any like explicitly queer moments or things like that that either of you like picked up on your watch this time or things like that?
I'm gonna be real with you, Jordan, this one was a little rough.
Ooh.
In terms of the queerness.
Ooh.
I just think the bigger and more expansive and more like mm-hmm. plot focused they get, the less like
right
potential there
you lose
is.
The Point Break
yes
boys to boy ratio. Yeah.
Yes,
there isn't a lot of room for like character work in these movies, because you're like having to spend so much time explaining like what God's eye is and where they're going.
Right.
And usually like the heartfelt conversations happen like over the phone.
Right.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that like, I feel like it's going to come back around.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. So I just think that this is like, this is a very, very plot focused movie. And I think obviously like smartly, a lot of it is focused on the Brian Dom relationship, which like, you know, will always be number one in my heart. But it does feel like in sort of like this mature way, their relationship has evolved from
totally.
Like the more like tension charged, like Furious One or like FNF4 ampersand, whatever you want to call it. Like they've sort of evolved past the enemies to lovers dynamic, and they are much more like
lovers than
family.
Yeah.
Like they've sort of settled into like a really friendly like relationship without that crackling tension that I feel like we make use of. But that doesn't mean that it's necessarily like neutered in a way.
Yeah.
It's comfortable. It's familiar.
It reminded me of that tweet that went around about Lord of the Rings masculinity.
Yeah.
How they're always like like cupping each other's faces and like telling each other that they love them. Like this is sort of that in a muscle car action franchise way.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I think like, again, we've said it probably on every Fast and Furious episode, but like the positive masculinity that is like radiating through these movies, I think is so important. I mean, the scene where I said it before, but like when Dom tells Brian that the bravest thing he's ever seen him done is like be a good man and like support his family, I feel like 99 out of 100 times that scene comes off feeling like the corniest shit that you've ever heard, and also like completely insincere and like something that they just had to throw in there to like show that this dude is like a good guy at the end of the day. But like they pull it off really
totally.
Nicely and
fully believe it.
I was
yeah.
extremely like affected by that, because I was like, that is sort of like a radical thing to say and mean, and like be able to have seen like the development of that through like 7 films is like, this is like what's important, is that like you have always committed to like being a good guy, that there's like basically like not a bad bone in like Brian's body. It really like got to me.
No, I think that's so tender. I mean, I feel like that's why,
tender.
Granted, like, we are obviously looking at this franchise, like, trying to, like, look at it through a queer lens.
We're doing our best.
Or, like, pull out, you know, those themes and stuff like that. Honestly, I feel like what's so nice about this movie and the franchise as a whole, I feel like even if you want to get more specific, is, like, 5, 6, and 7 as sort of, like, a solid, like,
trilogy. Yes.
Yeah, is that they are, like, this kind of version of a blockbuster film that's sort of so refreshing to see. And while it's like IP based, as we've like said, just because, you know, it is a franchise and stuff like that, it's just so comfortable in what it is. And it's not, Emma, you had said this sort of like making a joke about like certain subtext or anything. And it's not like having to like be too winky or anything. It's just like so comfortable being an action movie and a spectacle, and like just being like, we're going to provide you with like a lot of fun, some emotion, characters that you are like all enjoying. And to sort of just see that feels so refreshing, especially nowadays where it feels like so much of the stuff we get is kind of like gloopy or like just insincere or like doesn't really like love the characters that the movie is supposed to be like portraying. So when you have a film franchise like this, that it's just like, we actually love all of these characters so much, and like we know that the stories we're telling are like insane, but like we're gonna be earnestly like commit to the bit so hard.
I don't even know, like, I mean, they are committing to like the authenticity though,
right?
Yeah, I talked about this actually, this very thing with I don't know if you guys saw The Lost City.
Yes.
Recently? Okay. I talked to the directors of that movie specifically about like how The Lost City kind of feels like a throwbacky, like 90s, 2000s action movie where there is comedy that does not undercut the earnestness of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they both were like, yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we were trying to do here, was like not use, you know, funny breaks to, you know, make anything less sincere than it has to be, which I really loved about that movie, and I think they got it really right.
Yes.
100%. Yeah.
I totally agree. It, yeah. I really liked that movie.
Channing
and
would fucking kill in this franchise,
yeah,
by the way. Yeah.
He would kill.
My God.
This is why we kind of need like 15 more movies, because we have to get all of these like
these
actors that
all these beefy boys
in all at once. Maybe we can have like a rival car gang that's like Channing Tatum, Wyatt,
it's like
Russell,
the doubles,
John
of
Bernthal,
everyone.
Frank
yeah.
Grillo.
Like that scene in Shaun of the Dead where they like see themselves.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, that's I would
is,
love
who is
that.
Chan for our team, who would he be?
I don't know, I don't want to be like he's Brian, but I guess
maybe Tyrese, if he plays like dummy enough, you know, when he kind of like goes head empty mode.
Yeah, yeah. But like Channing specifically in The Lost City for sure, and just like The Lost City in general. Yeah. I really like, I think that it made the character development work so much better in that movie, and that like it gave room for the characters to have like real emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was so much more invested in like the Channing Tatum Sandra Bullock love story than I thought I would be.
Totally.
And I think a lot of it was because like it was a movie that like wasn't afraid to like let the characters like breathe, essentially.
Right.
And I think that like we're sort of, it's very rare that we see that in a way that doesn't feel like this is manufactured to get a reaction out of the audience. And it just reminded me how rarely we see it when I saw The Lost City, and I was like, this is like crazy how much I'm noticing this right now.
Yeah, no, it felt completely different from anything I'd like that I had to go see recently.
Which is so refreshing.
A lovely film if you haven't seen it.
Your chemistry.
I mean, hurry up.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, that's like, I don't know. I think that at this point in the Fast and Furious franchise, these people have been together for like 15 years. They know each other so well, and the chemistry feels so easy and familiar. And you're putting them in relatively real life situations, like hearing about all the stunts that they did for real. Like they're able to still experience these kind of like larger than life situations, as opposed to just showing up for green screen day one of 500.
Right.
Yeah,
no, totally. Yeah, the tangibility of everything.
And I think that makes a difference, particularly when, like we said, everyone's personas are kind of blending together.
Mm.
Like, nobody is really playing against type. So it, like, it's all a part of this, like, it's real, but they're characters, but they're real.
Mm.
That, like, soup, that relationship.
Yeah, no, that's a good way of putting it.
Even, like, Tyrese, too, because I feel like Tyrese, there was that whole thing where he was like, I want my own Fast and the Furious spinoff. And so like looking at this in like retrospect and everything, where it's like he has that whole little bit where he's like, I want to be
leader.
The leader and everything, and you're like, as you're saying, as characters are blurring together, you're like, okay, so it's like maybe this is what Tyrese is like. But
I think
it's
the
fine,
franchise,
you know,
should show Tyrese a little more respect. He already like played the second lead in a whole ass movie. Like he can do more than you're giving him credit for. I think
I'm curious about what you think about him in 9, because like a certain development of it, but I'm also like, I don't know.
Unless the development is him getting down on one knee and proposing to Tej, I don't want to hear it.
What if that's been the big thing that I'm building towards, is there's actually a queer marriage?
There's
and
like
I just have been really hiding it from
you. And
you
like talk to all our guests and like got everyone
like
to collectively
no
lie
this.
To me.
Yeah.
That
would rule.
Oh my
Anyways,
God.
Brooke, how much money did this make?
I mean, this is, I think, the most successful
of all
in the franchise. So it opened number one April 3rd, 2015, beating out such classics as Get Hard, Cinderella, the Divergent series, Insurgent. It follows Kingsman is hanging in there, second best exotic, Marigold Hotel.
Not the first.
But, you know, on a budget of $190 million, God, pretty expensive. It made, domestically, it collected $353 million, and it crossed $1 billion worldwide, which
Look at that.
So this might be, like, one of the, like, biggest in terms of, like, box office grossing.
Yeah, I bet it
that
is.
We've done. Yeah,
no, 100%. I mean, Juan in general is. I wrote down a thing. Is like his movies have collectively made $3.7 billion.
Juan,
he's like the highest grossing, one of the highest grossing directors of all time because of the Conjuring series,
right?
Aquaman, everything that he's like done, like all the horror franchises, like with Insidious. So it's just like the man makes money.
And of course, the malignant juggernaut that no one could deny.
No one saw Gabriel coming. Should we give out some awards?
Let's do it. Okay, first up, we have the Hit the Nos Award.
I need Nos.
Which moment in this film gave you the biggest adrenaline rush? I am going to say the bus jump.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good moments, but to me, that was the one, I think, because it felt like sort of small and like tactile, and that's like, I don't know. It's just a very well-edited and paced action sequence. I love that Letty comes in at the very end just for that extra little, like, sprinkle.
She's like, you good?
Yep. And then she's so casual about it. I really thought it was great. Oh,
that's going to be mine.
You can agree.
I don't want to agree.
Fine. You can agree.
We have to spread the wealth. I am going to go with the... Oh, what am I fucking doing? I know mine. Daddy's got to go to work. Why was I even trying to think of action scenes? That made me... I'm standing up
the
on
adrenaline.
My couch. I'm bursting through the window. I have to go to work. That is the scene, Brooke. He breaks out of a cast.
He does.
He flexes
a
muscle to break out of a cast. How are you not hitting the Nos? The Nos is coursing through his veins like venom.
I think that Dwayne maybe should have retired after that because it's like the perfect,
it's the peak of his career.
The perfect combination between like you want people to think that you can actually do this, but it makes sense that your character can actually do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's great.
No, Hobbs has muscles we haven't discovered yet in his body.
Yes.
No one else has them.
He's like brain muscles, like a vein can do something. You're like, what is happening here?
Right.
He uses 120% of his brain.
Oh my God, is he limitless? Wow.
Ugh.
Emma, what makes you hit the Nos?
Okay. I'm hitting the Nos on, honestly, I've seen this movie a couple of times, and every time I like have another action sequence that I love out of it. And I think this time, and this is coming after like a few years maybe of watching a lot of action movies post like John Wick, which really puts a lot of emphasis on like fight choreography being really good.
Yes.
I really loved the Hobbs and Shaw fight scene.
Yeah.
It is so well done. And I think it's probably because like it's well choreographed, it's really well shot, and it's two guys who are like extremely used to doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like Statham is an action star. He's been an action star for a very long time. The Rock obviously was a wrestler, so he does, you know, he's a stunt man.
Right.
And I think it really works for both of them. And I'm glad that they had that, even though it does lead to Hobbs and Shaw, which I don't love. But that fight scene between the two of them is so good. And it really makes you believe that Shaw is like this really dangerous guy if he can take out
Hobbs.
The Rock. Yeah.
Like, it's crazy
God.
Comes after like that sequence of him in the hospital where you're like, oh, he's with his brother, and then you cut out and it's like the hospital has been like everyone's
like on the floor and there's
like bleeding
stuff
out. Yeah, you're like, what the fuck, it's like the Walking Dead in here. Jesus Christ.
Yes,
it's so funny.
It's so good. I think it's like a great character intro. This this film also marks the loss of Dwayne Johnson's evil little goatee, which I missed
that's
very
true.
Dearly.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he just now looks like every other Dwayne Johnson character.
The goatee really was doing a lot of work.
I know. I miss it. Like, I really do. I thought it was a good
choice.
You're
going to write a letter, Dwayne. Please bring the goatee
back
for 10
the goatee.
Part 2.
Come on, man. I mean, he has like no hair anywhere else on his body. The least he can do is give us a goatee. But it's fine. I'll get over it. Okay. Up next, we have the Male Gaze Award. Ooh. Who had the best eye contact chemistry of this film? I'm very torn between like the sweet and tender mm-hmm. like option or like the classic.
Big and mask.
Yeah, super mask. So I don't know. I will let the experts talk about like what is more meaningful to them, and I will give my male gaze.
You're an expert at this point.
Not until I've seen all of them, you know. Okay, we can crown you with expert status at the end. Oh, now you don't want to?
No, I'm nervous.
Okay. Well, I will give my male gaze award to Shaw and Vin, who I do think like have a very nice like tête-à-tête, definitely better than the other Shaw from Furious Six. Like I like that I like them, even though you can battle obviously like above. You can feel the egos, you can yeah. feel it all, but I think that that's sort of like adding to it. And I mean, any dudes that want to joust with cars,
great,
I'm in for it.
The street always wins. Ooh, okay. This is tough because I think it's the same thing where it's like there's like the way that even Vin says like bri and like looks at, you know, Brian.
I mean,
is
this
like
is
so
the last
tender.
Time we'll be
I
able
think,
to
okay,
award it to them.
I can't not give it to the two of them looking at each other before they drive off, like Brian smiling, Vin smiling. It's like the most tender thing. I'm crying.
Yeah.
It's like just so beautiful and like just such a nice send off to their relationship and like everything that's like come before, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think that's just the way it has to be.
I think that that's very nice.
I gotta agree. I mean, those are the shots that I think about the most when I think yeah. about this movie, is the two of them looking at each other as they're mm-hmm. driving is just such a, I don't know. I can't describe the feeling of that, but it's not anything I've ever seen before or since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it feels really, I don't know. It feels really like metaphysical almost. It feels like time is sort of folding around on itself as they're doing that, which is so cool to think about, but yeah. No, it's so good. That final scene is just amazing.
It's beautiful. It's, and so I think romantic. That like it is metaphysical, and like time is folding in on them because they play the clip show, and like maybe the only time an actual clip show has ever made me cry. I knew I was in trouble when like the first strains of the song started coming through and they were all still on the beach, and I was like already tearing up, and I was like, this is bad. Like I have a long road ahead.
You do.
I know. And I like that clip show is so sweet.
So good.
And like,
see how much they've like aged
I
and
know,
grown together.
They're such babies.
Crazy. They look so small.
And that clip show does include a lot of like all-time good Dom and Brian like eye contact moments.
Yes.
Like it includes the key flip from One, which is an all-time it is romantic.
It like seals the deal on their relationship. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is like the cutest thing also, like just driving next to somebody for like an extended period of time and just like occasionally like looking over, like that is so cute.
Listen, there's this quote that like gets repeated to couples all the time that's like, true love is not staring into each other's eyes, it's like standing together staring forward with like the same goal, that you're not just like looking at each other, you're like looking forward towards the future together. And I think that is like really evocative of the last scene of this movie. Even though they have to part their separate ways, like they're going in the same direction,
putting me in an early grave.
Thanks.
Damn.
Jesus, that's so cute.
Yeah,
trying not to cry on the podcast.
I know.
Let's all cry. It's fine.
It's fine. It's a healthy expression of emotions.
Right.
What this
are we
movie's
doing
all about. Okay, I'm gonna bring us back.
Bring
We're
us back
make
to
it all
family.
Better.
Oh my God, this might be the
final
first
award
time. Yeah,
is the Olive Garden Award.
The Olive Garden. When you're here, you're family.
Which moment makes you feel the most like when you're here, your family? Honestly, lots of good little moments. I am going to give it to the beach scene when I started bawling my eyes out. You can feel how authentically I think like all these actors like miss Paul Walker, and like what sort of like a nice send off it is for him, like in general, like it's a group effort. Yeah. And it's just really sweet. And it's kind of impressive that they like don't overplay their hand, and it doesn't feel like super like saccharine or anything. Like it feels genuine. So a very sad one, but
no retweet. I don't know how it could be anything else. You know, there's no barbecues. They blow up the house. So if you're not having a barbecue,
the house.
Where do you go?
They better
go to
rebuild
the beach.
That shit. I was so distraught. I'm so sad.
No spoilers. What if it's gone forever, Brooke?
I'm sure it's not.
You're going to go to the location and build it your fucking self.
I need to give an Olive Garden award to like them rebuilding the house, like plank by plank.
They all work. It's just they're hammering. Yeah. It's like they're in the Midwest or whatever, building a home in the middle of the fucking
it's like
prairie.
Days of Heaven. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
that's the whole movie.
What rule? Terrence Malick, come on for Fast 10 Part 2. Emma, what is your Olive Garden?
My Olive Garden family award would probably go to the part where Mr. Nobody's talking to Vin and he's like, we got your team, and they all walk in and it you know, it pans around to all of them, and then there's Paul standing there too with everybody. Oh, yeah, that's so good.
Yeah,
the reveal of Letty
and
is
they bring
great.
In Letty too, like reuniting
she
the
was
family.
Like, I was looking for you everywhere, I couldn't find you. It's like, oh, I needed you to go on your own and find yourself.
And now they're back. I mean, they have a wonderful love story too. Thank God her amnesia is gone, because like, yes. I swear to God, I kept waiting for them to reverse it, and I was like, there's no way this is real. And it was real for two whole movies.
It was, yes. Even after he dove off a bridge to catch her.
Yep.
Great. Maybe that's why the franchise is so good, is when they have the good movies are where someone's jumping off a bridge or jumping from something and someone catches them with a car.
When people are in midair, you know? And they use and they well, like Emma said, like they yes. use the car as like a catch-all.
A safety, yeah.
Yeah. It's, so it's very important.
You want to try that out?
Definitely.
It'll work well for us. It's like we're Jackass. Ooh.
Don't. You should not give yourself ideas like that.
Honestly, watching Jackass Forever, that was my thought process. I was like, this looks so fun.
I'll bump up your life insurance and then maybe we can try it.
Thank you. Cool.
And I'll put myself as a beneficiary just in case. Anyway, do we want to see how this one tracks with the popular folks of Letterboxd?
Oh, boy.
So it has been consistently disappointing. Truly, the Letterboxd community let me down. I'm going to go, I think 5 was like 3.6 or 3.7, maybe. No,
that's
three,
horrible.
That's too high. I think it was even lower. I'm going to go with like 3.2.
Okay. I have terrible news for you. The Letterboxd app is down.
Oh my God, is Letterboxd down?
Wait, hang on. It's coming back to life. They've been having some issues over
Letterboxd
the past
HQ,
couple of
days. We're going to hold you hostage until we get the average.
Okay, what did you say?
3.2.
Okay, Emma, would you care to put in a guess?
For 7?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Not required, by the way. I feel like we put our guests through psychological torture trying to do this. So you can opt out.
3.8.
Wow. All right. One of you is correct. Congratulations to Jordan. It's a 3.2. This is probably, I think, the first.
This is the first Fast of Gun, right?
I don't know.
So long.
Yeah.
It's taken 7 movies to get it right.
It's a 3.2. Most people give this 3 stars, which I feel like is
that's fucking disgusting.
Low. I don't know. Like, this is
the true.
A nice
the
movie.
True fans aren't watching these. The true fans aren't writing these.
No.
Clearly. I mean, but. You know, this one is pretty popular.
It's
and
fucking a perfect movie.
Most people have very nice things to say about like how this movie handled, obviously, like the difficult hand that it was dealt. Which, if any, nothing else, I think is like a really wonderful legacy.
Yeah.
But in terms of the personal legacy that we're leaving,
oh baby,
let's hear it.
Where's it landing on the queer quadrant for you, Brooke?
This one not super high for me. Gotta be honest with you. Obviously,
out of 5?
doesn't. Directly correspond to how I feel about the movie as a whole, but I'm gonna give it like 2.5. I'm gonna give it 2.5 stars on the QQ. How about you? Out of 5, right down the middle.
You know, it does pain me, and like usually, like when I do my notes and everything for this, like the queerness category that I make is usually pretty bulky. And like for the first one, the second one, you know, they're pretty lengthy.
Yeah.
One, I will say I have maybe max like 4 or 5 little pinged things.
It's okay.
Which does not bode well. But that does not mean that the movie itself is not one of my all-time faves. But I think in terms of queerness, I think we don't reach the homoerotic heights of certain other ones.
Correct.
That came before and will come after. So I think probably a 2.5 is probably the right zone, you know, where it's given you enough juice. You have the Brian and Dom love. You have, obviously, the Jason Statham rock, bromoerotic stuff building, but it's not to the point of where it's like, why don't you just fucking kiss already, you know?
It's very tender and positive, so I feel like I want to give it brownie points for that, because I think that is something very nice and important.
Yeah.
So there we go. Emma, how are you feeling?
Yeah, no, I think now that you guys have talked through it, I think I can only agree.
You're like, 5 stars, duh.
I mean, you just cross that off the list. but no, I do. I agree. It's not like there is, really isn't any overt tension that isn't just like characters reacting to script. I think we discussed how, you know, the plottiness of this movie doesn't really allow for a lot of moments that could be read in certain ways. But I do think that there is plenty of like eye contact and like just steely gazes and stuff like that to kind of keep it moving. So yeah, 2.5.
Love it. Love it. We love an alignment across the board.
Love to see it. I bet there's a lot of fanfic, though. We haven't even really dug into it that much online, but if there's like, we talked about, right, you said this fanfiction, this is the movie, but I wonder if there's IRL fanfiction
archive
being written.
Of our
I'm literally just typing that in right now.
Wow. We have not visited this in a beat. It's time to go back.
This is, I feel like this is fitting since we talked about fanfic on the Inception episode. Like, this feels like the right time to return to it. Let's see. Fast and Furious. Have you discovered anything? I'm typing one-handed.
I think I'm doing something wrong because all of the fics are titled Fast and Furious, but they're all about anime characters. So I don't think
of course. Okay, I'm gonna go to all fandoms, and then you go to movies.
Here we go. Yeah, yeah.
There we go, and then we scroll. Okay, this
holy fucking shit.
Jordan is reacting to all.
There's
of
so
the...
many movies on here.
It's because
I just saw Brink on here. That's a good. That's a very gay movie.
All right, there's 2,000 fanfics in Fast and Furious, which is honestly not that many, but we're gonna sort by kudos and we'll see who's popular. A lot of them are like crossovers. Shout out to Brian and Dom, though. They're clearly top ship. Love that. I don't know. It seems to be kind of a nice, wholesome fanfic corner.
That makes
of
sense.
AO3.
Yeah.
There's some sex though. I just hit the first sex.
Sorry. When Brian pulls his front door open, he finds Dom leaning one arm carelessly against the jam. Dom's posture is casual. His eyes are anything but.
Oh!
Oh, goodness me.
This is what we come to.
This is the stuff.
AO3 for. Only 2,000 fics, though. That's really not very many.
Why was there a Far and Away fan fiction? There's like some fan fiction that I was not expecting before.
Yeah, I mean, there's fanfic for literally everything.
Incredible.
Like, any single thing that you want. And like sometimes like a certain fandom will have like an insane like pop, and then like the fandom will really explode. So it's a wonderful thing to see.
Jesus. Anyways, wow.
Anyway.
That was important. I'm glad we got to the bottom that there is still fanfic, though, of the franchise.
I mean, what a good note to end on.
Absolutely.
Emma, as always, thank you so much for being here.
Oh,
truly,
you guys are so
much
a delight.
I had such a good time, and I loved getting an excuse to watch this movie again, obviously. So thank you for having
Nothing
me.
Better.
Oh my gosh, of course. We were so lucky to have you. If people want to check out your amazing work and what you're up to, where should they go to find you, and what are you up to?
I'm on Twitter, I'm on Letterboxd, I'm on Instagram. I'm very boring on Instagram, don't follow me there. But yeah, I'm around. I'm doing stuff.
Love it. We'll link your stuff. We are mostly on Twitter. I'm at Brooke B. Solomon.
Jordan H. Gus.
And we're together at Queer Quadrant. And we're also on Letterboxd. I'm also Brooke B. Solomon.
Jordan H. Gus.
Great.
Killer,
look at that.
No filler.
We love brand synergy. And you can find this podcast on Spotify and on Apple and anywhere else
you
care to
your
get
car.
Your podcast. And of course, you can also find us through God's Eye at any time for any reason. Tweet at us. Tell us what you think about this franchise, these movies, the Daddy's Gotta Go to Work moment heard around the world.
It's the Avengers cheer, but for that. Mm-hmm. Like Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That should have been one of the cheer moments at the Oscars.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised it wasn't. I mean, those things were mobbed by weird social media people anyway, so.
Yeah, anyway.
Was Flash not entering the Speed Force enough for us?
Come on, guys. Enter the Speed Force.
That feel when Flash enters the Speed Force.
Nothing better. That really hits the NOS if you're asking for the, let's see if it's the NOS.
No.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, you can tweet at us at anything except the Speed Force. Just going to say that right now. And let us know what you might like to see us cover in the future.
And Brooke, what are we covering next week?
A movie that I have literally been waiting to cover.
Oh my goodness.
Since I saw it. I am so excited.
Since you saw the poster walking down the street.
The one and only Sharon Stone.
Oof.
Next week.
Oh, no.
We are talking.
Uh-huh.
Paul Verhoeven's
Woo!
Basic Instinct.
It's not basic, baby.
Oh,
not
no,
one bit.
Not at all. You guys. I'm literally so excited.
Brooke has an ice pick out right now.
Oh,
she's ready to stab someone.
I'm getting real method with it. So tune in next week for that. It's going to be so fun. And Jordan.
Yes.
Is there anything you want to leave the listeners with?
Daddy's got to go to work.
I knew it was coming.
Salute me, familia.